people out of the rubble, literally blood running in the gutter. Like water.
Aid is starting to arrive there now, but it's just a trickle in the race against time to treat the injured and head off the outbreak of disease.
There's no hospital, nothing, no food, no water, nothing.
CBS's Katie Couric is in Port-au-Prince.
The rescue effort here is makeshift, to say the least. Mostly private citizens and family members desperately looking for their loved ones.
There are schools that have collapsed with students in them. There's a hospital that has collapsed. There's nobody at the hospital site helping.
And amidst all the tragedy, a strange, joyful sound. Children singing, praising God for the fact they had survived.
There's no accurate casualty toll in Haiti, but for now it's estimated tens of thousands died in the quake. CBS's Jeff Glor spent time in one devastated neighborhood.
Every block, at times it seems every building in the Delmas neighborhood, damaged or destroyed. Oh my gosh. Then, more tremors. We just had to leave the building because there was an aftershock, so everyone who was inside had to come back out. The concern is obvious on the streets right now. They don't want these buildings to keep shaking. They're worried about even more aftershocks.
A veteran disaster team from Fairfax, Virginia is on the ground in Haiti, and they'll use dogs to help find survivors.
It's very important because, you know, their training and their skill sets, you know, they can get into places where normally humans can't.
The aircraft carrier Carl Vinson arrives off the coast of Haiti this afternoon, and other U.S. ships are on the way there, too. In this country, people with relatives in Haiti are growing frustrated with the communication breakdown caused by the quake. Here's CBS's Randall Pinkston.
Across the country in Haitian-American neighborhoods, moods alternate between desperate hope and the depths of despair. In Miami, the city with the nation's largest Haitian community, Estang Phoebe fears she's lost her entire family.
My mother, my brother, all my family.
In Chicago, home to more than 8,000 people of Haitian descent, Bernard Jato repeated the frustrating cell phone ritual.
I'm trying calling anybody that I know, but I cannot get through.
I'm August Skamenka in Houston, where the grim reality is setting in for one of the nation's largest Haitian communities.
I can tell you, it's people on top of people, bodies on top of bodies.
Pastor Emmanuel Dume, leading a massive relief effort for food, water, and medical supplies.
We can save maybe over 500,000 people that, you know, we can prevent them from dying.
Now they need air power and are calling on the major airlines to help them transport these most basic of provisions.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
In many American churches, prayers for the earthquake victims.
I'm Jim Crisul in Blacksburg, Virginia. Tears flowed as members of the Blacksburg United Methodist Church came together to pray for the safe return of a 15-member church group.
We have a mission team that is in Haiti, and we don't know when.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
I'm Pat.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. and prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
I know that sludge for brains like Bill Press,
you are a Nazi and a Stalinist.
We have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When you're responsible for reading the news to a city of millions, you need a gentle touch.
As for your greasy mouth self, that might help if you stopped eating all them fries you eat, making you look 6 months pregnant.
One of the top most listened to radio shows.
That voice of yours could be an attraction at a circus.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
It's a full court press. That's how Secretary of State Hillary Clinton describes U.S. Efforts on behalf of the people of Haiti. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Thursday edition of the Bill Press Show, coming out to you live, coast to coast, all the way across the great United States of America, from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. That's where you'll find us, just down the street from the United States Capitol building here on Capitol Hill. And good to have you with us this morning. 866-55-PRESS, you know the toll-free number, 866-55-77-377. Your chance to weigh in on the issues of the day. A lot of focus, of course, on Haiti, and a lot of focus on negotiations on health care. Boy, a monumental. It turned out to be, it was originally an hour meeting, then they said it was going to be 3 hours, turned out to be an 8-hour meeting down at the White House yesterday, Dan, you're right, on with the Senate and the health and the House leadership and the President of the United States and the Secretary of HHS, Kathleen Sebelius, sitting around the table and trying to bang out the differences between the Senate and the House version. And that and the efforts, of course, on behalf of Haiti occupying the attention of most people here in the nation's capital, plus a little attention to Wall Street, and that's how we'll kick off our third hour together this morning. On the Haiti front, first recognize and say hello to our press team here, Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning. Hey, guys.
An honor.
Here we are.
On
Haiti,
the president spoke yesterday to the nation. He's scheduled to speak again in 2 hours from now, just about 10 a.m. East Coast time, an update on Haiti. This was how he opened his remarks yesterday.
This morning I want to extend to the people of Haiti the deep condolences and unwavering support of the American people following yesterday's terrible earthquake.
It is a time when Americans do come together. We always respond to crises like this wherever they happen to be, either in this country or around the world. It's a time when partisanship disappears. Liberals and conservatives once can get together and just recognize our duty to reach out and help people. That's because that's who we are as Americans. Well, most of us are. There's always one exception. There's always one person who wants to play politics with everything, including international relief for the people of Haiti. Yes, here's Rush Limbaugh yesterday, who can't resist one more opportunity to attack Barack Obama.
This will play right into Obama's hands, humanitarian, compassionate. They'll use this to burnish their credibility with the black community in both light-skinned and dark-skinned black community in this country. It's made to order for them. That's why he couldn't wait to get out there.
Yeah, it's almost like a Saturday Night Live skit. If you wanted to really mock, right, and stereotype Rush Limbaugh, you would have him attack Barack Obama for helping the people of Haiti and accusing them of doing it only because he's black. But that wasn't a Saturday Night. That was actually Rush Limbaugh seriously on his radio show yesterday. I got to tell you, beyond despicable. What a pig. On Haiti, if you want to help, and I know all of us do, we found out the best way to help, and Ed Schultz is the one who started this last night on the show. We're picking up this morning.
You can just go to our website and get the directions. But if you just pick up your cell phone and text Haiti, the word Haiti, H-A-I-T-I, to 90999-9999, that'll automatically send $10 to the American Red Cross for the rescue efforts in Haiti. That $10 will be charged to your cell phone. It's quick, it's easy, it's efficient. It's the best way to that we know that you can help follow the directions on our website. So, again, we're going to be starting off this hour with Congressman Peter Welch from Vermont. A little bit later, we'll talk to Matt Visor from the Boston Globe about the big Senate race up in Massachusetts. But first,
this is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news. We're learning more about Tiger's final day, Thanksgiving weekend. After their argument, things were so bad between him and wife Elin that he was forced to sleep on the floor of a friend's house. Source said when she kicked him out, he couldn't exactly go to a hotel, so he ran over to pro golfer Marco Mira's empty villa and stayed there. The place was gutted except for an air mattress, some pillows, a TV, snacks, and Bud Light in the fridge, and a golf glove on the floor.
Oh, man. Who found out this? TMZ?
Yeah.
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Get your Super Bowl ads. They're cheaper thanks to the slow economy. Ad space during the big game selling for 16% less than in recent years. 30-second commercial last year was about $3 million. This year it's about $2.5 million.
Well, maybe we ought to pick one up for the Bill Press Show in the middle of the Super Bowl.
American Idol Season 3 winner Fantasia Barrino is getting her own reality show. Billboard reports VH1 giving the green light to Fantasia for Real. The series will follow the singer's attempt to, quote, rebuild her dynasty after her second album tanked and she almost lost her home in Atlanta.
She was an American Idol winner?
Yeah, won and back in 2003.
Remember, she
was in the Colored Purple on Broadway? And,
yeah.
And now she's trying to fight back.
American Idol list.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that is right. 12 minutes after the hour. Made a lot of news yesterday. Congressman Peter Welch from Vermont introducing what he calls the Wall Street Bonus Tax Act. And he's here to tell us all about it. Hey, Congressman, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Good to be on.
So you propose, as I'm reading your press release here this morning, a 50% tax on all bonus compensation in excess of $50,000. Why? Didn't these people deserve this, you know, earn this money?
Well, they didn't earn it. But the other part of that is all the money raised. And keep in mind, Wall Street has set aside between $140 and $160 billion for bonuses. All the money would then be available for small business lending. And there's two things. One, they didn't earn this money. In 2009, they were the beneficiary of huge infusions of taxpayer assistance, not just the TARP money, which people focus on, but the zero interest money with the open window from the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they then invested that. They went back to the casino, back to their old ways, and they made a ton of money. And they had three options of what to do with that money. One was to restore their balance sheet so they'd be strong for another day and wouldn't have to come back to the taxpayers when they blow it. Two, they could actually have lent that money out to businesses that were feeling the squeeze of a credit tightening. The third option was they could line their pockets, and that's what they chose to do. So they would never have made that money absent the enormous generosity of the American taxpayers. So I don't really regard it as anything that belongs to them. And my preference is that we tax that money and make it available to do the small lending that the big banks didn't do. In fact, with all the profits they made, they reduced small lending by $11 billion last year and are leaving that full burden to our small local banks that aren't getting the free ride that these guys are.
Now, would your proposal apply to institutions, banks, and others that only to those that got TARP money or across the board?
TARP money.
Those who got TARP money.
That's right.
How many banks are we talking about? 40, 50, 30? Under what's the...
It's over that, but typically it's the big banks.
Mm-hmm.
And again, all of those big banks that got TARP money, the real, real benefit to those big banks, like Goldman Sachs, was the 0% interest that they got from the Fed open window. And what they did is they took that money, and the idea, certainly in Congress, was that that would then be available to lend money out. So if you had Goldman, let's say, getting 0% interest money and then lending it out at 4% to businesses that desperately needed credit, I wouldn't begrudge them the profit they made. The point was to get that money into the economy and to businesses that needed it. Instead, they went back to their old ways, buying and selling derivatives, commodities, currencies, and so on, and they made a killing. But that really is our money. You know, the other thing, there's a problem on Wall Street, as we know, and it's not just the greed, we focus often on them. But you have a bank like Goldman that has gone from really one of the most respected institutions to the most predatory. What they're using their position, not so much to do what finance capital has generally done, make money available to businesses, entrepreneurs, job creators. They've turned it upside down so that those entities, the job creators, are in service of finance capital. And it's not a system model for the long-term strength of the American economy.
I've heard that, read, that the banks are giving a lot of, a big portion of these bonuses are in stocks, not in cash. Would the tax apply to both?
Yes. I mean, so, I think this whole game of trying to find different ways basically to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Essentially allow them these huge bonuses, which is a model that leads to disaster, because in order for them to have the money to, quote, earn them, they have to take huge risk with taxpayer money or with taxpayer guarantee behind them. Whether it's stock or a straight bonus, a cash bonus, really doesn't make much difference. And I'll believe it when I see it, if there's a, quote, clawback.
I also read this morning, I think it was in the New York Times, that the average bonus at Goldman Sachs, $595,000. Some of them are over $10 million, but the average, $595,000.
The average, that's what you'll get if you work in the mailroom.
Yeah.
If you ever came close to a keyboard and made a trade or transaction, you're going to be in, you know, probably in the millions. The banks try to fight back and say, look, we are, quote, earn the money, and they really didn't earn the money, because it all is there as a result of the taxpayer guarantee.
Well, the other thing they say, Congressman, is that we need, they use the analogy to the sports world, right? We need to pay these huge salaries just like the Yankees do, because we need this talent in order to get the job done.
What they need is favorable deregulation that allows them near monopoly power. These large banks have grown in size so much that their competitive advantage over our smaller local or regional banks is immense. And it's that market power that gives them the advantage. It's the taxpayer guarantee that had to prop them up, even though they made these catastrophic decisions because they were too big to fail, and the ripple effects on Main Street and the collateral damage to innocent people was so vast that the taxpayer had to step in. So, you know, my view is that you've got a size of banks that is too big. And frankly, the question for Congress should be whether we want to try to regulate monopoly or restore competition. And frankly, if we have real competition and we provide policies that are going to help our small local banks that are doing the old-fashioned work of lending to small businesses, then that's where the real talent needs to be, because they create jobs.
Congressman Peter Welch from Vermont, our guest here on the Bill Press Show at 866-55-PRESS. Congressman, so do you think there's any validity to this movement of moving your money? Some people are calling on for Americans to move the money from the big banks into the community banks.
Well, I certainly like to see that. I mean, our community banks are invested in their communities, and the bankers, the bankers are good people with roots in the community. They look in the eye, and if they think you're good on a mortgage, they're going to lend you the money, and they're not going to be.
Are they making business loans and home loans today?
Oh, they certainly are, more so than the big banks. We've got to get unemployment down, and we've got to stabilize the price of housing. Those are underwriting issues of concern to our local institutions. But by and large, where you're seeing an uptick in lending for businesses is at the local bank level. That's certainly the case in Vermont. I mean, there's bankers and there's bankers. The Wall Street bankers have become traders. Our local bankers still make money the old-fashioned way, and that's by borrowing money at a lower rate and lending at a bit of a higher rate, but not a mafia rate like the subprime folks.
All right. Now, this Wall Street Bonus Tax Act, which you passed yesterday, you know, we've got a similar tax already in place in the U.K. and in France. But given how powerful these banks are, and given the army of lobbyists that they have in Washington, D.C., What are you hearing? You're back in D.C. now. What are the chances of getting something like this through this Congress?
Well, two things. One, as you know, President Obama is going to be making an announcement on a fee today, which is complementary to what I'm doing.
A fee on the big banks. He's going to do that about an hour and a half from now, right?
That's right. And I think, you know, we're seeing him get tougher. In my view, that's a good thing. But his notion is that the banks that caused the problem to lead to the bailout ought to be the ones that pay the cost, not the taxpayer. That's good. Second, my bonus tax just goes to the heart of this bonus culture, where these bankers have basically think we work for them instead of them for the American economy. And I'm finding a good deal of support for this among my colleagues. I've got well over a dozen sponsors just in the last 24 hours of senior members of the Ways and Means Committee. That's a good sign. The other thing is these bonuses are going to be announced, and I think people are going to choke when they see what they actually are.
Yeah, you mentioned, I hadn't heard that figure so high, $140 to $160 billion. The figure that I'd heard and was using was $90 billion, but you're almost double that.
I've heard up to $160. CNN, I think yesterday, I may have that reference wrong, headed up to about $140.
So I think you're right. I mean, I think you're absolutely right on this. I think it's the right thing to do. And I congratulate you for taking the lead on it. And I think the American people, the outrage and anger of the American people is going to be felt. What can they do? People who are outraged by these bonuses want to support this bonus tax?
Call the members of Congress. You know, I'm trying to reach out to my Republican colleagues because, you know, Republican or Democrat or Independent, I think most of us respect our local bankers. Who make mortgages, help small businesses, and have a decent living and are engaged in the community, not the greedy guys on Wall Street who think we all work for them. And that's a Republican, Democrat, Independent approach. So I really urge folks to call a member of Congress and say, hey, let's get real here on these bonuses.
All right. So the legislation is the Wall Street Bonus Tax Act, 50% tax on bonuses over $50,000. The author, Congressman Peter Welch from Vermont. Thanks so much, Congressman, for your good work, and go get them.
Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
All right, great. There he is. Good man.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Is your car payment dragging you down? Are you struggling to pay too many bills and need more cash? How would you like to save thousands of dollars a year on your car payments for free? The specialists at Guidian want to help you cut your monthly car payments for free. They can help you modify your current high-interest loan or find other options to save you money fast. There is no cost or obligation to find out more. Guidian gives you several options to save money on your monthly car payments. In fact, they will help you find the best solution for your individual financial situation. You can save as much as 50% on your car payments. Call for free information now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919. Don't wait until the bank takes your car. Get more room in your budget now and save thousands of dollars a year in high-interest car payments. For free information about this revolutionary free service, call now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919.
You want more from your TV? DirecTV gives you more than Dish Network or cable. More channels in HD, more movies in 1080p, and more sports in HD. Get 150 channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. Call today and ask how to get 3 months of Stars and Showtime free. DirecTV gives you more. More TV for less money. Call 888-DIRECTV and mention code OFFER. 888-DIRECTV.
Prices reflect rebate after online redemption. More HD based on 24/7 HD channels. HD access and equipment required. Offers end 2/8/10. New customers only on approved credit. Credit card required. Other conditions apply.
GEICO's been around over 70 years, helping people save hundreds. But yesterday, I'm going through paperwork and I'm realizing just how many ways GEICO can save people money. Good driver discounts, defensive driver discounts, multi-car discounts, discounts for cars with airbags. And I don't mean having your mother-in-law in the passenger seat. Sorry, it's just a little car insurance humor. I think that joke's over 70 years old, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week.
and they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
I'm from Progressive.
Next on the line is Jake.
Hey, Flo. Years ago, I just went with my dad's auto insurance company. Could I be paying too much?
Maybe. But when we compare Progressive direct rates to other top companies, you could save hundreds.
Hundreds!
Hundreds!
Hundreds! Is there an echo in here?
Compare and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
798.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
27 minutes after the hour, Matt Visor from the Boston Globe taking a look at the Massachusetts Senate race for us in the next segment of the Bill Press Show. On this financial reform, a couple of things happening today. President Obama at 11:50 East Coast time will be announcing the administration's plans for what he calls a financial crisis responsibility fee or a tax on the big banks. And the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission will be holding its second day of hearings today. Yesterday, they heard Lloyd Blankfein from Goldman Sachs say, "We couldn't have done it without government money."
Without question, direct government support was critical in stabilizing the financial system, and we benefited from it.
Yeah, they benefited from it. So all we're saying right now, the president is saying, and I think Peter Welch from Vermont is saying, okay, you benefited from it. We bailed you out, and now it's only fitting and proper that you pay something back in terms of a fee and in terms of a tax on those bonuses. And then Congress has got to get serious about that financial reform legislation. It has passed the House, but nothing's happened in the Senate. And without that legislation, it's just going to be business as usual, and they will be up to their old tricks. We can't let that happen. All right, Senate race in Massachusetts. Are Democrats in trouble?
This is the Bill Press Show.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. With monthly payments you can afford, credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-9526. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-600-9526. That's 1-800-600-9526. 1-800-600-9526.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more. Plus, get instant savings every day with free delivery and haul away, which combined can save you up to an additional $79. No rebates, no hassles. Brands like GE, Maytag, and LG are more affordable than ever thanks to 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through January 20th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
Your boss wouldn't walk into a store and steal software off the shelf, but your boss may order you or another employee to copy software illegally. Either way, it's stealing. Report software piracy. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BS.
We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943.
If you're losing your hair, it's probably thinning, drying out, or breaking off. There's an incredible new product you need to know about. It's called Ovation Cell Therapy. Men and women across the country are raving about it.
I can't believe it. No prescriptions, no transplants, just a simple cream rinse application. It really works. My hair is stronger and thicker in just days.
My hairstylist suggested Ovation Cell Therapy to help restore my brittle and damaged hair. Wow. I can't believe how shiny and long my hair is now. Ovation Cell Therapy really works, growing hair at up to 50% faster than the normal rate. Just go to ovationhair.com to learn more about the money-back guarantee. It costs less than prescription meds and can restore any type of hair. Ovation Cell Therapy is safe and effective even for chemotherapy hair regeneration. Go to ovationhair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. Grow your hair longer, stronger, and faster. That's ovationhair.com. And don't forget to enter AM760 for your special discount.
Entertain your whole family with 99 cent kids and family movie rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
The Home Depot has lowered prices on items throughout the store, so you save money and get more out of every project you do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
983-0552. That's 1-800-983-0552. 1-800-983-0552.
Bill Press Show.
Hey, it's 33 minutes after the hour now. This is the Bill Press Show. We are coming to you live coast to coast from our radio studio on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. this Thursday, January 14. And if you believe the cable networks, there's trouble up in Boston. A Senate seat that was believed to be comfortably held by the Democrats and would always stay in the hands of the Democrats, Teddy Kennedy's Senate seat, may be imperiled. Again, cable TV is reporting that Martha Coakley could be floundering and Republican Scott Brown moving up and might even win that seat, which would totally derail health care in the United States Senate, because that seat represents the vote number 60 for the Democrats. You know, we hear all these reports. We thought, let's find out what's really going on. And we turned to someone who knows. Matt Visor is a State House reporter for the Boston Globe. He's been covering this race. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Bill. Good to be with you.
All right. So what is the situation on the ground? What's really going on up in Boston? How close is this race?
It's hard to tell. I mean, this one's going to be decided by a small portion of the electorate. I mean, certainly the national attention is energizing people here in Massachusetts on the race, but turnout is expected to be fairly low. This election comes the day after Martin Luther King Day, a holiday weekend when a lot of people are away. So people are just now tuning in, and polls are sort of all over the map. But it's clear that Democrats are worried, and a lot more worried than they thought that they would need to be in Massachusetts.
Now, why should they be worried if your poll last Sunday, the Boston Globe poll, showed Martha Coakley, Democrat, ahead by 17 points?
Well, there are indications that it may be tightening. You know, even the Coakley campaign is acting as if it may be tightening. They've gone with some negative ads that you typically wouldn't think of for a front runner or a perceived front runner. internal polls in the campaign show a tighter race, that maybe something shifted last week. There's just a sort of a little bit of a different dynamic. But it is possible that Coakley's still ahead, and, you know, that the margin is just closer than they would be comfortable with, down in the single digits or something like that.
You have reported and reminded us, too, that in the polls are notoriously all over the place in Massachusetts, as you discovered during the Democratic primary, right?
Yeah, during the primary, there was a similar dynamic in which there seemed to be the other campaigns, and there was the perception that the race was tightening, and Coakley ended up with, you know, a 20-plus point win. Everybody sort of said, what's Coakley doing? You know, why is this tightening? And you know, she sort of ran away with it. It's possible that the same thing happens here, and that there's this national attention and outside interest sort of drumming up this race is a close one, when in fact it may not be as close as people think. But it's clear that, you know, at least on the ground, I mean, Scott Brown has run a pretty good campaign. He's been out every single day. Coakley has been a little bit less active and doing things more by press release than actually sort of holding events. That's changed in the past couple of days. So she's gotten much more active and is out there and has been up on TV. And is sort of energized her campaign a little bit more.
We're talking to Matt Visor from the Boston Globe here on the Bill Press Show. So, Matt, clearly there's a lot at stake. And on a race like this, where you say turnout is going to be so low, my experience as former chair of the California Democratic Party is that in a race that tight, the deciding factor could be one of two things: absentee ballots, or get out the vote campaign, meaning really a good ground campaign. To what extent have you seen any signs of activity on the part of the two campaigns in those areas? Has there been a big absentee ballot effort on the part of Republicans or Democrats?
Brown seems to have done a pretty good effort at the absentee ballot. It's difficult to tell, but some of the early indications of the absentee ballots are coming from some Republican areas in the state. There's a surge. So he's kind of focused on that. Coakley does have a pretty good get out the vote network, that's what they've been concentrating on. And when you ask her, you know, why are you not doing these? Why are you not out doing retail politics? You know, why are you not out, shaking hands and you know, which she has not done much of. And you know, their response always is, that's not where this is going to be decided. We're focused on doing the phone calls and organizing our network and keeping everybody out in the field, doing things like that as opposed to the retail politics. And they were successful, at least in the Democratic primary. She has run statewide before as Attorney General. Scott Brown has not. This is his first statewide campaign. She was challenged in the Democratic primary in a competitive race, and Scott Brown did not have a competitive race. So this will be the first indications of whether Scott Brown even has a statewide network to tap. So, certainly going into it, she has a lot of advantages, in that respect.
Massachusetts is also, of course, a big union state, very strong for organized labor. Are the unions really pumping in here and helping Coakley?
Yeah, and they helped her a lot in the Democratic primary as well. She's endorsed by a lot of the major statewide unions, and today I think Coakley's joined by the AFL-CIO in an event in New Bedford, and so there is a lot of sort of energy among the unions, which could help Coakley in the ground war.
With so much at stake. What I can't understand, I'd like to know if you've heard anything about this, is why there is not a schedule at this point, at any rate, and here we are Thursday morning. So to my knowledge, the president and the vice president, neither one of them have any plans to come to Massachusetts between now and Tuesday. Robert Gibbs told me yesterday morning at the White House nothing is on the schedule. Do you hear anything different in Massachusetts? Are there any plans for a president or vice presidential visit?
There's definitely talk of it, and a lot of Democrats here would like them to come, either one, you know, either the president or the vice president, maybe sometime over the weekend. From the from the reaction to the COCA campaign, it does seem like there's discussions and that it's a possibility. And my hunch is that it's a possibility in the event that that she doesn't sort of pull away, that their internals don't show her kind of widening the gap. If it ends up getting really close, and I think that would be an indication that it's getting really close, and that they're really nervous if Obama or Biden changes their plans and decides to come up here.
Well, Obama,
which I would think they certainly would do if it's close and they actually feel like health care is on the line and they've got to fight for this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the 60th vote. There's no health care without this senator from Massachusetts. There's no doubt about it. And she has made it clear she's for it, and he's against it. In fact, I want to ask you about that, too. I mean, in terms of the politics of Massachusetts, she's pro-choice, he's pro-life, she's for health care reform, he is not. You could go down the list of issues. Doesn't her politics more closely fit the people of Massachusetts than his?
It does, and that's the... she's now trying to get out the message of what his, the race has been so, people have not followed this very closely, and now she's putting up all the ads trying to brand him, as a Republican in lockstep with the National Party, to say that he's out of touch with Massachusetts. But only now has she started doing that and trying to put the focus on him and his policies. So he's kind of skated by under the radar a little bit with some of these things that don't necessarily match up with some of the Massachusetts, what you typically think of as somebody that Massachusetts would send to Washington.
Yeah, and finally, there is a third candidate that nobody talks about, but there's a Kennedy on the ballot, right?
Yeah.
Joe Kennedy, right.
Yeah. Joe Kennedy, not to be confused with the former Congressman Joe Kennedy and the nephew of the late senator. It's Joseph L. Kennedy. He's a businessman.
No relation?
No relation at all, he's a libertarian who's running as an independent, and in fact was adopted, as a baby, and took the name of his adopted family. So he has no relation. His adopted family doesn't have any relation, and he certainly has no blood relation. So,
is he a factor in the race at all?
Our poll at least showed him at 5%. Other polls have shown him around 3 or 4. He's not a major factor. Certainly, people may go into the ballot booth and see a Kennedy and automatically sort of by reflex check the name. But he has not been a major factor in the race.
And Vicky Kennedy has clearly endorsed and is helping Martha Coakley raise money. Correct?
Yeah, there was a big event last week where Vicky Kennedy and the former Congressman Joe Kennedy had a rally for Martha Coakley and sort of wrapped the Kennedy legacy around her. And Vicky sent out a plea yesterday, I think it raised $600,000 or $700,000 in the course of 12 hours or so. So it was a very successful plea. So that's helping Coakley here.
Well, whoever thought that this Senate race would attract so much excitement, but it certainly has in this final week, and it's good to know what's going on the ground up there, Matt. My own bias is the Boston Globe has endorsed Martha Coakley, so I hope the Boston Globe gets a winner in this race, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see. We thought we were going to be having a slow week this week, but it's not been one at all.
Well, and I also hope that you have the burden this weekend of having to cover an event by the president or the vice president, because I think they ought to get their butt up there and help her out. Hey, Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thanks, Bill.
All right. Yeah, just a postscript there. I can't believe that the importance of this Senate race. I mean, it's Teddy Kennedy's seat. It's the people's seat. I know they keep saying that, so it's true. But this is a seat held by Teddy Kennedy for almost 40 years. And it's Massachusetts, and it's the 60th vote on health care. I cannot believe that the White House would let it happen without having President Obama and Vice President Biden. And what the hell, the First Lady, I'd send the whole gang up there. There's so much at stake on this seat. Nothing more important right now between now and Tuesday than getting Martha Coakley elected to the United States Senate.
Podcasts, Twitter feed, and Bill's White House Report exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Give remote users secured access to network resources.
Barracuda Networks can help.
The Barracuda SSL VPN is an integrated hardware and software solution, enabling secure, clientless remote access to internal network resources from any web browser on a PC, Mac, or smartphone. With no software to install, no per-user fees, and a quick installation, the Barracuda SSL VPN empowers your staff with valuable network resources from anywhere. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
Scratchy sweaters, skin irritation? Winter means it's time for Gold Bond Anti-Itch Cream. Dry winter skin itch? Get the quick fix. Dry indoor heat? Get the quick fix. Gold Bond Anti-Itch Cream works on itch and irritation fast with two maximum strength itch fighters. Got a patchy skin itch? Look for the healing seal. Gold Bond Medicated Anti-Itch Cream for dry, itchy, even painful winter skin. It's the quick fix for almost every itch. Uses direct.
If you're doing any home improvements, you'd be crazy not to check out Buy and Build. I found this place after hearing about them on the radio, and everything they say is true. They have incredible deals, way cheaper than anywhere else I've ever looked. Cabinets, flooring, countertops, sinks, faucets, and toilets. My wife and I have fallen in love with Buy and Build. You will too. You'll get great deals and a vast selection. 4800 Washington Street, 303-295-6022, or buyandbuild.net.
Listen to some of the reasons why thousands of employees have reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance.
I had my hesitations about reporting my boss, but in the end, I knew it was the right thing to do. I really did like the fact that my reporting software piracy stayed confidential.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
U.S. only, see store for detail.
It's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at denverboatshow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Now that the holidays are over, it's time to stock up on all the things my family uses most.
Member Yolanda Williams on Sam's Club Savings.
Bounty, Tide, Charmin, you can't beat the prices.
Sam's Club members save up to 37% on laundry and home care.
Those savings could more than pay for my membership.
Become a Sam's Club Plus member January 13th through the 26th and get an extra $100 in e-value savings. Visit your local Sam's Club to learn more. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Entertain your whole family with 99-cent kids and family movie rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
Listen to AM 760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at am760.net.
Previously on the Bill Press Show.
Sarah Palin making her debut on Fox last night. How'd she do?
Palin, the Twitter on Twitter, Category 5 moron. We should be broadcasting her show on the Cartoon Network.
Podcasts on demand. Log on to BillPressShow.com. Purchase a Bill Press podcast subscription and never miss a minute. This is the Bill Press Show.
Hey, and for all of you podcast subscribers, want to bring your attention to a new edition, which is our in-depth interview that we had with the Reverend Jim Wallace. Got a new book out about the economic recovery and how we need a values recovery at the same time as the economic recovery. Good stuff. Good new book, and enjoyed talking with Jim Wallace, and we've got that whole like 25-minute interview up for our podcast subscribers. Go to BillPressShow.com. On the Massachusetts Senate race, Rudy Giuliani is going to Massachusetts tomorrow to campaign for Scott Brown. Any chance that Scott Brown had of winning may be destroyed by the time Rudy Giuliani gets up there. Bill Clinton will be there campaigning for Martha Coakley tomorrow. On the race, here's Mark calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, Bill. I'm just wondering if the White House is a little reluctant, or somebody, some of his advisors or whoever, and maybe trying to do some damage control, or try to avoid him being vocally or seen with this campaign, because there's a lot of stake here. The
yeah.
Kennedy and the health care, if the Republican was to win, then that would be fodder or you know, some mud to, you know, that they could use against the president. I'm just wondering if they might be a little reluctant because of the other two elections that he was real vocal in. The other thing is...
But Mark, on that point, I mean, with so much at stake, it just seems to me it's better to fight the good fight, even if you don't win, right, than just not to show up at all.
Well, I think if you're going to get in a fight, fight to the death, you know,
yeah.
That's the way I look at it. But another thing, you know, but then again, you know, there are advisors, and they do get paid, and they do voice their opinion. The other thing is, if the Republican wins, do you think the Democrats will do any kind of delay to avoid him?
No, I don't. The Republicans are throwing that out there. They're a bunch of whiners. They're a bunch of crybabies. Look, if I have to tell you my take on this thing, Martha Coakley's going to win. The Republicans are inflating this because they're trying to raise money for Scott Brown. And part of it is, this is just like Florida. Now they're accusing Democrats of stealing the election and not seating this guy even before the damn election's been held. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, you know, don't buy that. But you're right. I'm sure some of the president's advisors are saying, no, don't go up there because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Well, damn it, that's what politics is all about. As far as I'm concerned, if he was willing to go to New Jersey and campaign for John Corzine, and he was in trouble, and people weren't sure he was going to win. And then Obama went to Virginia and campaigned for Cree Deeds, and nobody thought he could win, but Obama went down there anyhow. Well, hell, Martha Coakley's, she's 17 points ahead in the polls. No need to run away from her. Thomas down out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Hey, Thomas.
Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
I think they're not sure how the president is going to be taken in Massachusetts these days because he's lost a lot of juice. People are kind of disappointed in his leadership style and rhetoric versus action. You know, talk is cheap. They've already had Deval Patrick, who they're disappointed with, and I think they see Obama maybe kind of in a similar mode. And, you know, Rahm Emanuel has basically told the base that they're not worth paying any attention to.
Well, that certainly comes back to haunt them at a time like this, that people are maybe not, certainly are not as enthusiastic because of don't ask, don't tell, no action on that, because of health care, because of no public plan option. But at the same time, you know, you got a real choice here, Thomas. I mean, you got a real choice between a progressive and a teabagger in Scott Brown. You got a real choice between somebody who supports health care reform and somebody who has vowed to come to Washington and to vote against it. I mean, clear choice for the people of Massachusetts. Even though some of us on the left are disappointed that Obama hasn't been tougher on some of these issues, that doesn't mean you turn around and hand the keys to the kingdom to the to an ultra-conservative like a guy Scott Brown. So, I don't know. People's got to get behind, Democrats got to get behind Martha Coakley, Democrats around the country, and I think the White House has got to get behind her and show their support by sending Obama up there this weekend. I'll be back with a parting shot.
The Bill Press Show continues.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
When did your life stop being fun? When did you start giving in to your anxiety, your worry, your fear, and depression? At what time did you stop being able to snap out of it? If being happy seems like something you'll never feel again, it doesn't have to feel that way. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. I suffered for over 20 years with anxiety, depression, and panic attacks until I took control of my life. That's why I founded the Midwest Center, so people like us could have somewhere to turn to find help. And to help you even more, I'm giving away my powerful free CD to everyone who calls in. You deserve to be happy, and there really is something you can do to help yourself, starting right now. Please call for your free CD. Call now.
Please call right now, and we'll send you a powerful, life-changing CD, absolutely free. Call 1-800-591-0194. That's 1-800-591-0194. 1-800-591-0194.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
This is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Just 10 minutes. That's right. You can start improving your memory when you call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply of Neurostin. 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines are open now. Neurostin is a scientific breakthrough with clinically proven ingredients that can dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration, and help reverse years of memory loss. Call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply. If you want your brain back, if you want to remember telephone numbers, people's names, and where you put your keys and glasses, Neurostin's all-natural ingredients can help dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration. See for yourself. Try it risk-free now. Start improving your memory now. Call in the next 10 minutes to try all-natural Neurostin before you buy it. Supplies are limited, so get your free trial now at 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines will be open for the next 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-600-8199.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Thursday, January 14, my parting shot for today that we've been talking about here for the last half hour. By all the rules, it should be automatic. No question about it. The winner to take Teddy Kennedy's seat in the United States Senate race in Massachusetts, the bluest of all the blue states, should be a Democrat. And it's especially important this year because Democrats need that seat to hold on to 60 votes for health care. But this time there could be trouble. Democrat Martha Coakley's got a tough race and might even lose it. You know, remote chance, but she could even lose it to Republican Scott Brown. Most observers say Coakley's still going to win, but nobody knows for sure because the polls are all over the place. One has Brown up by 1 point. The Boston Globe has Coakley ahead by 17. At this 11th hour, Democrats have turned up the heat, sending millions of dollars into the state for last-minute TV ads and turning union members loose to pound on doors. They know they can't afford to lose this one. Which gets me to this question. With so much at stake, why doesn't President Obama plan to go to Massachusetts and campaign for Martha Coakley? Doesn't he believe that Teddy Kennedy's seat is worth fighting for? Apparently not. I hope it's a decision that Obama does not live to regret. That's my parting shot for today, folks. Stuart Varney, top business commentator for Fox News, will join us tomorrow to talk about the Wall Street bonuses.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Well, all of them.
Comcast presents The On-Demand Couple. On June 26th, Shaquille O'Neal was traded alone in a new town. He turned to his friend Ben Stein. Luckily, Ben had the Comcast triple play with
I start and stop hit TV shows and the latest movies whenever. This feels like home already.
You too can enjoy the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand. Now only $99 a month for 12 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and enjoy access to thousands of On Demand choices, including movies, TV series, and kids shows. And now you can even watch online, anywhere, anytime.
Shaq, you're blocking my movie.
Watch it on my laptop.
You can watch it on your laptop? Wait, that's my laptop.
Hurry and call 1-800-COMCAST today and get the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand for just $99 a month for 12 months. Or step up to our HD Triple Play and get up to $200 back.
Offer ends 3-7-10 applies to starter XF Triple Play for new residential customers. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapane. Help is trickling in. A big C-130 cargo plane is about to leave Florida's Eglin Air Force Base for Haiti, but food, water, and medical supplies can't possibly reach stricken earthquake survivors fast enough.
There's no air, no hospital, no electricity, nothing.
CBS's Jeff Glore describes the desperation in Port-au-Prince.
Right now we're outside a hospital. It is an almost indescribable scene of anguish with bodies lying in the street and people looking for help in any way they can.
President Obama is scheduled to make a statement on the American relief effort about an hour from now. CBS's Kimberly Dozier tells us job one is getting the Port-au-Prince airport up to speed.
What they're trying to do is open up more than one runway. Until they can do that, there's going to be a very limited ability to bring in aid that way. So the helicopters jumping off of some of these ships offshore, that's going to be a crucial way to deliver what's needed.
Secretary of State Clinton says the death toll will be in the tens of thousands.
We are locating Americans. We are evacuating those Americans who wish to leave. We've evacuated some of the injured Americans.
CBS's Katie Couric tells us about a rescue effort at a heavily damaged Citibank building.
Five people were trapped in the rubble, and last night, one at 12:30 and one just before 1 a.m., were actually pulled out of the building. I just talked to an executive here at Citibank, and she told me they were in actually extraordinarily good shape.
And this is just in. CBS News has confirmed that former Presidents George W. Bush and Bill Clinton will work together raising funds for Haitian relief. Some new figures on the economy are out. December retail sales fell 0.3%. And the number of workers filing new unemployment claims rose by 11,000 last week. In a few hours, President Obama will propose a new tax on banks and other financial institutions. It could raise more than $100 billion to help offset the cost of the financial bailout. But economist Peter Morici says there's one thing it won't do.
The fee is not a great idea. We should attack the root causes of excessive risk-taking at the banks. This very small fee will be a nuisance. It won't change how business is done.
New reports of some public colleges are less diverse than top-tier private schools. Live to CBS's Jim Taylor. Why is that?
It's because America's top public schools are giving more financial aid to students who come from well-off families. Washington Post detailing the report that says public research universities routinely award as much in financial aid to students whose parents make more than $80,000 a year, as to those whose parents make less than $54,000 a year. Results in campuses that are often less diverse than those at more elite private schools, right?
Phoenix woman who told sheriff's deputies her two-year-old would be better off with someone else went about it the wrong way.
What she did is traded her daughter. I mean, what kind of mother would actually do something like that, would trade their own child for a weapon?
Sheriff's spokesman Doug Madison, S&P futures are down 2 points. This is CBS News.
Small business owners are looking for customers. We at Intuit Websites believe the customers are everywhere. Down the street, across town, there could be a customer in Scranton looking for you right now. Get found with your own website from Intuit Websites. Just pick a style, edit, and get online as easy as 1, 2, 3. Intuit Websites is just $4.99 a month. So instead of spending time looking for customers, have them find you for a change. Get a 30-day free trial at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more. Plus, get instant savings every day with free delivery and haul away, which combined can save you up to an additional $79. No rebates, no hassles. Brands like GE, Maytag, and LG are more affordable than ever thanks to 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through January 20th, U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. The disaster in Haiti is triggering a big response here in Denver. The Mile High chapter of the American Red Cross has not sent anyone in yet, but they are ready to step in when asked. And Jim Ratu says they're already getting a lot of people asking about how to help out.
But we can't send people over without the training. So if people want to help in disasters like this, come on, be a volunteer, get trained, and then when the next one hits, and there's always the next one, you'll be ready to go.
Ritu says you can donate by logging onto their website. A number of local companies are getting involved in the Haitian relief effort, including some new industries. The Greenworks Medical Marijuana Dispensary says it will donate a percentage of all sales this weekend to Haitian relief efforts. Governor Bill Ritter delivers his swan song of sorts later today. The governor makes his final State of the State address. Governor Ritter is not seeking re-election. In sports, the Denver Nuggets beat the Orlando Magic last night at the Pepsi Center. Final score, 115-97. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
The slowest stretch of this morning's commute are those southbound lanes of I-25 as you're coming out of Thornton and Northland. Starting just past 120th, taking you down towards 84th. Speeds are going to drop down into the teens and pockets through there. Northbound I-25, also sluggish on the approach to 6th Avenue, as is eastbound 36. As you're coming in from the Boulder area, Federal towards I-25, speeds are going to drop into the 30 and 20 mile an hour range. Surface street accidents, Havana and I-70, as well as northbound Santa Fe at I-25. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect cloudy skies today, cooler than these last couple days with a high only in the mid-40s, currently 26 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Breeze Ski and Snowboard Rentals is Denver's home of the $9.99 daily ski rental, valid at all Metro Denver locations. Get the Breeze Basic Sport Ski Rental Package for only $9.99 per day. Reserve now online at skirentals.com. Breeze, home of the $9.99 ski rental.
One thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
Always, you're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Six here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Look at that sound clip of the worst day of my life. I'm putting Turk on the spot here, but I feel like I just drove up from doing a hit with Fox News, me debating Michelle Malkin, and it just made me think of this sound clip that we play very often.
Ever since I started working, every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling. Just, I did this debate on Fox News this morning about why. I mean, it's everything about doing a Fox News hit feels stupid. I'm almost embarrassed that I did it. Really. It was the question of the debate was, quote unquote, why does the left hate Sarah Palin? And it was me versus Michelle Malkin, who's a lunatic. And it's just like, I just feel like ashamed. Like I need to take a shower or something. I mean, I do appreciate Fox inviting me on. But Fox is really, And by the way, I pointed out something important, right? Which is that it's not just the left that hates Sarah Palin. You look at polling data, self-described Republicans in the last CBS News poll, self-described Republicans by a plurality say they don't want her to run for president. Independents absolutely hate her. So the idea that it's just the left that doesn't like Sarah Palin is absurd. And that is actually the topic of my column, my newspaper column, coming out tomorrow and over the weekend in newspapers across the country, how the media takes the right, says it's the center, takes the center, says it's the left, and takes the left and says it's the complete and utter fringe. And that will be in the Denver Post, the Fort Collins Coloradan, papers across this state and across the country coming out this weekend. And by the way, I take a little shot at the Denver Post in the piece. And I appreciate the Denver Post running the piece. I showed it to my editors there. You'll be interested in seeing it. But I took a little shot at how they characterize John Hickenlooper in their editorial from last weekend, effectively endorsing his candidacy for governor, how they used the Hickenlooper situation as a way to do exactly what I just said, reframe the terms of the debate to the right. John Hickenlooper, by all measures, is a conservative Democrat. Actually, maybe not by all measures, but a conservative Democrat. He's been somewhat progressive on taxes, but he is known as a fairly conservative Democrat. And what they said was, you know, he is the center. And Ed Perlmutter, Congressman Ed Perlmutter, who is a very mainstream Democrat, is somehow too far to the left to be elected statewide, which is just ridiculous, right? It just makes no sense. I mean, it's what I say is it's Orwellian newspeak. Ed Perlmutter is the center. John Hickenlooper's little right of center in terms of comparing them to where the average voter is on their policies. And what we're told in the media is that Ed Perlmutter is some leftist, which is ridiculous. Ed Perlmutter, you know, Ed Perlmutter is a decent Democrat. A progressive Democrat? I mean, it's a stretch to even call him that. Right? He was, in many ways, trying to weaken different pieces of the Wall Street Reform Bill most recently. So that's my column. Look for it in papers all across the state and across the country tomorrow and over the weekend. You might have seen there's a story, I guess it was on the Colorado Independent, that I am no longer contributing to an early Denver Post blog. I had been contributing to it as of about 6 months ago. I actually hadn't contributed to it since then because of my book. But some people have emailed me asking me, oh, is the Denver Post, did they drop you? No. They still run my column and still have a great relationship with the editors over there. It's just they decided to have their blog run by their political reporters. So just a house cleaning note there. We've got a good show for you today. At 7:20, we're going to be joined by the author of a book called Can They Do That? Retaking Our Fundamental Rights in the Workplace. I asked the author, Lou Malpe, to come on the show because what's incredible about this is what your employer can actually do to you. I think you're going to be surprised to know what is legal for your employer to actually do to you in your workplace. It's fairly shocking and pretty grotesque. Then at 9, very excited about this, we're going to be joined by George Saunders, one of my favorite writers, one of the best American writers out there. He's a writer for The New Yorker, Harper's, McSweeney's, GQ. He had a terrific, terrific book called The Brain Dead Megaphone, where he does everything from patrol the Mexican border, visits the supposed Buddha boy in Nepal. He's fantastic. You're not going to want to miss this. He wrote, by the way, speaking of Sarah Palin, he wrote one of the funniest pieces I've ever seen about Sarah Palin in The New Yorker. It was absolutely hilarious. So we're going to have a wide-ranging discussion with him at 9. And in the interim, I want to throw a couple stories out to you to see how you feel about them. A couple stories that caught my eye. Now, the Haiti story, just a tragic, awful story. And the reason why I think we're not going to talk very much about it is because there's really not much to say right as of yet. It's just an awful, awful disaster. And the one thing I will say, and I'll later on in the broadcast, I'm going to fill you in on how some conservatives are already trying to politicize it. Big shocker. But the one thing I will say before we get later on in the broadcast to the politicization of this tragic event, the one thing I will say is that this is an island nation that's right off the coast of the richest country in the world. And it's one of the poorest countries in the world. And I think if there's any tiny thing that might be good that comes out of this, any tiny thing that good, it is maybe an awareness that even within our own hemisphere, the disparity in wealth between our country and some of our neighbors is just shocking. And here's the second time I'll use the word this morning, grotesque. Now, that's not to say that if Haiti was more wealthy, this earthquake wouldn't have killed a lot of people. It's just to say that I really hope that the images being beamed back into this country teach us a lesson about just how vast the disparities in wealth are between our country and countries right near us. I mean, this country is right off the coast of the United States. Now, a couple issues I want to throw out there to see how you're feeling about them. First top line story. We've been talking about taxes in this state. Is there going to be a debate about taxes? Well, the Obama administration making headlines. The headline in Bloomberg News, Obama bank fee to hit 50 of the biggest U.S. financial firms. As many as 50 financial firms with assets greater than $50 billion each would be hit by a levy President Obama will announce today to help recoup taxpayer money from the bailouts and trim the federal budget. $90 billion will be raised if this tax is enacted over 10 years. The banks, big shocker, are screaming. Using tax policy to punish people is a bad idea, says the CEO of J.P. Morgan. All businesses tend to pass their costs on to customers. So the banks are in a threatening position already, saying, if you do this, we will make customers pay. Now, what's so incredible about this, what is so amazing about this, $90 billion over 10 years, sounds like a lot of money, right? We have handed out, between bailouts, cheap loans, subsidized loans. When you loan it at 0%, that's a subsidy. Between bailouts, cheap loans, and loan guarantees, we, you, me, John Turk, the taxpayers, we have given them somewhere in the range of $12 to $18 trillion just to the banks. We're not talking about the GM bailout. Not talking about anything other than the banks. We've given them $12 to $18 trillion, and they have the nerve to complain about a tax that would raise $90 billion? These people know no shame. The question is not whether this is a good thing that the Obama administration is rolling out, but whether it's enough and whether it's too little too late. I mean, here's the thing. This is when I read about this, I'm like, well, I'm glad this is happening at one level. But the other part of me is like, where have you been? Where has the Obama administration been? And $90 billion? That's it? That's it? I mean, that's a joke. That is an absolute joke. So I'm not trying to be super critical of Obama. What I'm really being critical of is the opponents of this who say that this is unacceptable. Does greed know no boundary? What do you think about this tax? 303-713-7600 is the number. Do you believe the banks are going to take it out on consumers? Do you think this is the worst possible thing we can do? 303-713-7600. You're hearing in the legislature now Republicans saying, we talked yesterday about taxes in the state. The Republican leadership now saying if the Democrats in the state legislature take away business tax loopholes, that's going to destroy the economy. So let's continue our tax debate. The tax on banks, where do you come down on it? Do you buy that the banks are going to pass on the cost to us? Then after the break, I'll throw out, after we talk to our guest, I'll throw out a couple more things I want to discuss, including this new poll saying most Americans would be willing to give up their civil liberties to be safer at airports, and this controversial story about the Denver Public Schools and a menu item, or a series of menu items, on it, supposedly commemorating Martin Luther King Day. All that, and after the break, the author of the book, Can They Do That? You're not going to believe what your employer can legally do to you in the workplace. We're going to get an update about that after a traffic update with John Turner.
I better watch what you're putting in your blog there, David Sirota.
It's going to freak everybody out.
I know,
when
it
they
will.
Hear.
I'm looking forward to this next interview. So thank you. Traffic is getting busy for us, so we do have a couple problems. Accident on the ramp to Havana from eastbound I-70. Also a crash northbound Santa Fe at I-25. And this just came in via instant message, too. Got some problems in Highlands Ranch. Traffic light malfunctions on Lucent Boulevard, basically at Highlands Ranch Parkway and again near C-470. So that's causing some problems there. Stop and go southbound 225 Park Road to 25 and on southbound I-25, 120th to 84th. The forecast, partly to mostly cloudy. Small chance of snow or rain in the foothills, but little accumulation. Look for a high of 45. Right now, 29 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Today,
tonight on Lifetime, it's the premiere of Project Runway back in New York City.
I gotta keep my eye on the prize.
Where fashion was born and inspiration lives.
The biggest challenge in the history of Project Runway.
Oh, I'm here, man.
Where 16 new designers will make it big or die trying.
I just want to get out of this alive.
Tim, Heidi, Nina, and Michael.
Just a train wreck.
Take back Manhattan.
Make it work.
All new season, all New York. Project Runway premieres tonight at 10, 9 Central on Lifetime.
Have you heard about geothermal? The renewable energy that works even when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow? Not only is geothermal reliable, it can operate at 300 to 600% efficiency. Geothermal is the smartest and greenest way to heat and cool your home. That's why Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling teamed up to offer Denver the peace of mind that your geothermal project is done by some of the top professionals in the field. Climate Master Heat Pumps, one of the top heat pumps in the world, powers the geothermal system. Your geothermal project could also qualify for a 30% tax credit. The goal is to offer a personalized solution to your heating and air conditioning needs to help you maximize your efficiency and reduce your carbon footprint. Call Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling today. 303-424-1622. 303-424-1622. Or online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today.
Listen to some of the reasons why thousands of employees have reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance.
It makes me angry that most businesses play by the rules and use software legally. My company did not. I don't have any regrets about reporting software piracy. I would do it again.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
It's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at denverboatshow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Buster, for a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
Coming up Thursday on the Tom Hartman Program, conservative David Horowitz joins me to talk about his latest book, A Crack of the Heart, an emotional story about the ups and downs, both political and personal, of his relationship with his daughter, Sarah, a liberal, plus how capitalism will save us, or will it? I'll be challenging former presidential candidate and corporate mogul Steve Forbes, who says,
free people and free markets are the best answer in today's economy.
Well, he may be half right.
It's the Tom Hartman Program, 1 to 4, on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
/7:22 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. There's so much news out there, and we are going to get into a discussion about taxes. The bank tax, $90 billion. Sounds like a lot, but compared to $12 trillion we've given the banks, $12 trillion you and I have given the banks, the nerve of them to complain about a tax that would raise $90 billion over 10 years. And also, we're going to get into a discussion about this school lunch issue. Allegations of racism right here in Denver surrounding the Martin Luther King holiday. And a new poll says Americans would trim their civil liberties in exchange for security at airports. Are we letting the terrorists win? Well, one way we've already kind of let the terrorists win is through laws that allow, and I guess I shouldn't call employers, all employers terrorists, but one way we're letting the people who would like to terrorize us at work win is through the laws that allow our employers to do some pretty shocking things to us under the law in our workplace. Joining us now, Lou Maltby. He's the author of the new book, Can They Do That? Retaking Our Fundamental Rights in the Workplace. And we invited Lou to come on the show, not just to talk about his book and about how to take back our rights, but because when I was reading through some of the material that came along with the book, I was really stunned at what your employer is allowed to do to you under the law. And Lou, I appreciate you taking the time. Why don't you give us, you know, maybe your top five list of sort of eye openers that people might be particularly shocked at in terms of what your employer is actually allowed to do to you at work?
To me, the most shocking example was a woman from Alabama who was fired in the 2004 presidential election because she had a Carry for President bumper sticker on her car, and she wouldn't take it off when her boss told her to.
Now, that was legal for her boss to do that?
Absolutely legal. And I've tell people that countless times, and everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. And it is crazy, but it's true. And what people don't understand is that free speech and all your other constitutional rights only apply to the government. The Constitution and Bill of Rights apply to the government. They don't apply to private parties, and a private corporation is a private party.
But let me just understand that for a second. What do you mean that it only applies to the government? Are you saying that the Constitution and various federal statutes, by and large, only say what the government can stop you from doing?
Not exactly. Statutes and the Constitution are really quite different. The Constitution is very clear. If you read the First Amendment, it says, the state shall not. That's the government. That's not a private corporation. And you can't blame the courts for reading the Constitution to say what it says. Now, because the Constitution doesn't do anything to protect our rights, in some areas, Congress or state legislatures has done something to fill the gap. And those statutes are explicitly designed to address private employment, but they're very limited. Essentially, they're anti-discrimination laws.
And I'm reading here from some of the material that you sent along with your book. I mean, I'll just give folks some more examples here. A staggering 20% of employers, 20% of employers now require employees to agree before being hired not to go to court if the corporation violates their legal rights, and to go, I guess, to an arbiter. Arbitration, oftentimes the corporation gets to choose the arbiter, and there's a question of whether then the arbiter is impartial. And there's other, your book recounts other stories here about, in many places, video monitoring is allowed and happens. I'm reading Control of Private Lives. Daniel Wynn was fired from his job as a machinist after 8 years because he had a few beers after work with some friends. The company's owner believed that drinking is a sin, and he was not drinking at work, right?
No.
He was drinking.
He came to work sober for 8 straight years, did a good job, got along well with his employer, followed the rules. Even his employer admits we fired him because he went out for a couple of beers on Friday night,
and
we think that's bad.
And so, I mean, your employer. Now, well, let's step back here. What is your employer, in terms of, I guess, their quote-unquote, their personal views, what are they not allowed to do in most workplaces? I mean, is your employer allowed to be your employer in many places, I think in most places, are not allowed, if not all places, are not allowed to be I don't like black people, so I'm not going to hire black people. Are they allowed to do that?
No, that's the one area where Congress has acted. In 1964, we finally figured out that you shouldn't fire somebody for being black. And Congress passed a law that said you can't do that. Before 1964, you could refuse to hire somebody because they were black.
Can you refuse to hire somebody because they're
Jewish,
gay,
or old?
Is gay a protected class?
Depends on what state you're in.
Okay, so that goes by state. But
right, but everything else.
Yeah, so everything
age,
else
means gender, race, religion, national origin.
If I walk in and tell my boss, I say, "Boss, I am a Philadelphia Phillies fan," and my boss just hates Philadelphia Phillies fans. They can say, "See you later."
In 46 states, they can fire you for that.
Now, I'm reading here. There's this issue of psychological testing. Tell us about that.
I'm not easily shocked after 20 years in the business, but that one still shocks me. There are a substantial number of employers, thousands of employers, who will not give you a job unless you take a psychological test, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Psychological tests don't have to be intrusive. There are some that really aren't very intrusive at all. And if you want to know whether somebody's going to fit into your corporate culture, it wouldn't hurt to know a little bit about them. I mean, believe me, I couldn't work at IBM. I'd never make it, no matter how good I am at my job. And I don't think the IBM guys would be very comfortable in a loosey-goosey place like this. But unfortunately, the most common psychological test, which is called the MMPI, asks questions that I literally wouldn't ask my wife. It asks questions about your sex life, whether you love your mother and father, even your bathroom habits.
It's unbelievable. And again, on the line with us is Lou Malpe. His new book, Can They Do That? Retaking Our Fundamental Rights in the Workplace. And there are so many things. I mean, you got to check out this book. It goes through. You will be shocked to know what your employer is allowed to do to you. Now, this genetic testing issue, there is a, you know, especially with the healthcare debate, right? Employers keep talking about trying to, and understandably so, trying to deal with ever increasing healthcare costs. How far is your employer allowed to go to see if you, you know, I mean, a genetic test can say, oh, well, you've got either a genetic lineage or some such hereditary possibility of getting certain diseases that might cost the company healthcare plan a lot of money. How far are they allowed to go to effectively discriminate you against you on the basis of your potential health risk?
If it's a genetic-based health risk, you're finally protected. We started working on this issue back in 1990 when I was running the ACLU's Employment Rights Office, and it took us 18 years of hard work, but finally in 2008, Congress passed the federal statute that says that employers cannot discriminate against you based on your genetics. They can't even get your genetic information. And by the way, neither can health insurers.
So they can't take like a blood test from you and then do a sort of DNA test. Okay, they can't do that.
Well, they can do it, but if they do it, they're breaking
the
law.
Okay, right.
You'll probably catch them.
Okay.
So you're protected there, but you're protected if you're disabled, which means you have a physical or mental condition that the legal definition is complicated, but it says about what you would think disabled means.
Okay.
But on the other hand, if you've got a condition, physical or mental, that's not genetic, and it's not serious enough to disable you, and the boss just doesn't want to hire you because he thinks you're funny looking or doesn't want to pay the bills for your medical care, you're not protected at all.
You're not protected. So I can roll into work. I can let it slip that I've got, I don't know, I've just realized that I've got some disease.
And breath.
Right, okay, and my boss can be like, see you later.
Yeah, and what happens the most commonly is that you're too fat. If you weigh 400 pounds, you're considered disabled because if you weigh 400 pounds, you have trouble doing the things that most people can do easily. But if you're just 20 pounds overweight and your boss thinks you're a fat slob and wants to fire you, you're history.
And
every day.
What about smoking? Can your boss fire you for being a smoker?
It depends on what state you're in. Until 20 years ago, if your boss wanted to say, not only can't you smoke on the job, which it should say, but you can't smoke in your own home
or anywhere else.
You could, the boss could fire you with completely legally for smoking in your own home on Saturday.
Okay.
Now, there's 29 states where you can't do that anymore because we helped get laws passed that said you can't do it. But in 21 states, your boss can still fire you for smoking or drinking off duty, or for that matter, for riding a motorcycle.
And these things, you know, however you feel about them, they're perfectly legal to do. So you're literally your employer can fire you for doing things that are perfectly legal outside the workplace.
Absolutely,
it's absolutely incredible. Again,
no, and the thing is, and it's in the United States. Anybody can do anything they want to do unless there's a law that says you can't do it. That's called freedom. That's a good idea. But that means employers can do anything they want to do unless there's a law against it. and most of the things employers shouldn't be able to do, we've never passed laws to cover, so they can still do it.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here. And again, on the line with us is Lou Malpe. His new book is Can They Do That? Retaking Our Fundamental Rights in the Workplace. He has worked, as he said, for the ACLU. He worked at the National Work Rights Institute. You can find his work at workrights.org. Devil's advocate here. Lou, Europe has all sorts of laws against what employers can and cannot do to employees, and that has created structural unemployment in Europe, higher unemployment rates, because the workforce, the labor force, is not as quote-unquote dynamic. What do you say to that?
There is something to that. However, Europe's economy is a whole lot better than a lot of people think it is. But just the same, Europe has gone a little too far. In the United States, it's employment at will. Your boss can fire you for wearing the wrong baseball cap on the weekend.
So you're saying there's a middle ground.
Well, yeah, in Europe, even if somebody's doing a lousy job or you just don't need them anymore, the needs of the company have changed. It's not impossible to fire somebody, but it's very difficult.
What are some?
It shouldn't be that way. If you've got legitimate reason to fire somebody, they broke the rules, their job has disappeared, you're laying off, they're doing crappy work, you should be able to fire them.
Oh, absolutely.
And it shouldn't take you 2 years to do it.
What are some common sense reforms that we could take that maybe would bring us to that middle ground, that maybe would not take us all the way to the European model, but that would be pretty easy to implement and that wouldn't be so burdensome?
The easiest thing we could do is get rid of employment at will. We could say that your boss can fire you for, quote, just cause, unquote. And fortunately, we know what that means because union contracts have had that clause forever, and there's thousands and thousands of rulings by arbitrators as to what is and isn't just cause for termination.
And as I understand it, there's one state in the country that has, and where I used to live, Montana, has a just cause law. It's been sort of circumvented a bunch. But is that right? There's only one state that has it on the books?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And Montana's is not exactly, it's a very complicated statute. It wasn't done very well, but in Montana, they don't have employment at will. And last time I was in Montana, which was about 2 weeks ago, their economy was looking pretty good.
Yeah, they're
as good as anywhere else.
And you know what, to bring it back to a local angle here, in Colorado, there was talk of putting a just cause ballot initiative on the ballot in the last election, and the state's political establishment, both sides, right, and the Democrats and the Republicans said, get it off the ballot. We don't want that on the ballot. And in fairness to the Democrats, they were saying that because the right was also threatening these quote unquote right to work, these anti-union amendments on the ballot as well. But Just Cause is a perfect example of a ballot initiative that would be very powerful, I think, because it would allow us to have a discussion about the very things that you write about in your book. Again, the book is called Can They Do That? Retaking Our Fundamental Rights in the Workplace. It's by Lou Malpe. You can find his work at workrights.org. I'm telling you, you read through these examples about what your employer can do to you in your workplace. It's absolutely incredible. Lou, thank you for putting the book together, and thanks for taking the time this morning.
My pleasure.
Good talking to you. 7:37 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we're going to get to our discussion about taxes. Taxes, taxes, taxes. It's the big news in the Colorado legislature. Now it's the big news, finally, at the federal level, President Obama announcing a plan to tax the biggest of big banks, a $90 billion tax on the banks. Is it enough, or does it go too far, or does it not go far enough? I think it doesn't go far enough. Is it too little, too late from the Obama administration, which has thrown about $13 to $14 trillion at the banks? And these bankers are actually, I'm not kidding, they are in the newspaper screaming bloody murder, saying that if we pass this tax to recoup the money, or $90 billion worth of the money that we've given them in handouts, if we even pass this tiny little tax, they will take it out on consumers and raise our fees at the banks. Where do you come down? You think this is a good or bad idea? 303-713-7600. Stick around. We'll open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. A lot of traffic on I-70 this morning. Westbound side stacked up a couple different areas. First from 225 to 270. Again, from Colorado Boulevard down to Brighton. Eastbounders from about Pecos to Brighton Boulevard. Also stop and go southbound I-25 in North Glen, starting at 120th Ave. Going to break loose after 84th. More jams downtown after I-70. Also busy in Aurora, southbound side at 225. Dam Road closed, so they are seeing some more traffic on 225 at peak hours. Here's our accidents. One on the ramp to Havana from eastbound I-70. Also one at Santa Fe and Evans. They did just clean up that crash. Santa Fe at I-25. Also traffic lights out on Lucent near C-470 and south of there. Your forecast, mostly cloudy but not enough moisture to create any rain or snow in the city. Possible light snow showers in the foothills. Highs will be in the mid-40s. Right now, 29 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The mail to some out-of-town stranger, you're getting ripped off. Take it to Fast Cash and you'll get 40% more in cash and on the spot. Want to get what your gold's really worth? Get a quote from Fast Cash before you sell. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
This is Dave Logan speaking for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Colorectal cancer is now the second leading cancer killer in the U.S. However, it can be prevented with a screening test that finds and removes small growths in the colon called polyps before they become cancerous. Men and women 50 and older should talk to their doctor about colorectal cancer screening. In health, as in football, winning starts with a good defense.
Call the American Cancer Society at 1-866-227-7914.
There's never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or DrainSolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
Sciences. Not only learn what the top 10% of successful people know, act on it and act now. Call me now, 303-904-0077, 303-904-0077, or sign up at my website, WilliamSumner.net. That's WilliamSumner.net.
Entertain your whole family with 99 Cent Kids and Family Movie Rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
It's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at DenverBoatShow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Now at the Home Depot, save an instant $50 to $250 on in-stock bath products to update your bathroom. Brands like American Standard and Delta. Just spend $500 or more. Remodel your thinking, too, because by putting the money you save back into your project, you can afford a nicer bathroom than you thought, thanks to instant savings of up to $250. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
By now, you've heard a lot about Ovation Cell Therapy and how it helps restore dry, brittle, damaged hair and the amazing results for growing your hair thicker, fuller, stronger, longer, and faster. Guaranteed. But did you know that after 15 years, over 500,000 customers have never asked for their money back? Because it works. I've been using Ovation for less than a week, but I love it already. Your website claimed people noticed a difference after a couple of days of use, and I have to agree with them. Thanks for a wonderful product. Ovation Cell Therapy works on all hair types to help restore dry, brittle, thinning, or damaged hair. And it'll work for you, too. Just a simple shampoo and rinse application with no side effects. It's even safe and effective for chemotherapy hair loss recovery. And it's unconditionally guaranteed. Log on to OvationHair.com to learn more and enter AM760
360 at checkout for a special offer. Grow your hair thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer, faster. Visit OvationHair.com and remember to enter AM760 for your special offer. OvationHair.com.
744 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Let me just give you a little rundown on where we're going to go. But to the morning, after the national news, we're going to be talking terrorism through a prism that I'm guessing you have not seen it through. Through the prism of that shooting of the abortion doctor. One of our listeners sent in an instant message with a suggestion for a discussion. And that infamous shooting of the abortion doctor, the trial is going on, and the defense is making a case to try to get the shooter, the admitted shooter, off. A defense that relates in a much bigger way to how we think about terrorism. It's fascinating and disturbing at the same time. We're going to talk about that after the top of the national news at 8. We'll also talk about a poll that says most Americans would trim their civil liberties, be willing to trim their civil liberties in exchange for better airport security. But right now, we're discussing the issue of taxes. President Obama announcing this new fee, new on banks, the biggest banks, the banks with more than $50 billion of assets. So this is the biggest of big banks. The banks screaming bloody murder. We're having a similar tax debate in the Colorado legislature. The legislature thinking about withdrawing special tax breaks and subsidies to various corporate interests in state as part of the effort to close the budget gap. Do you think President Obama is wrong or right to push this tax forward? And more than that, is it enough? Or is it not enough? And is it too late, or is it better late than never? 303-713-7600. Ralph in Colorado Springs. Hey, Ralph, how you doing?
Fine. Quickie on your next topic. Under the USA Patriot Act, I think you should take a look at the definition of domestic terrorism, see whether that fits the shooter. Now, on your topic now, bottom line is what you're dealing with is the divine right of international banks. Taxpayer money, 100% through TARP, bails them out. Swiss, UBS, the Saudi oil princes that own Citicorp. What I saw in the paper, more than 50% of whatever taxpayers put in immediately went overseas. Now, why is that? Well, he who has the gold makes the rules. And we don't have the gold here in the United States anymore. That's the Chinese, the Russians, and the Saudis.
That's absolutely true. And the question is whether this tax... I mean, I'm actually... A couple folks have pointed out that asked the question whether this tax is even serious, whether this tax is even... is just a little political salute. And I want to read to you this piece that I read about how the Obama administration isn't even really defending the merits of this tax. And this blogger, Eve Smith, who writes at Naked Capitalism, one of the best blogs following this stuff, points out that the way that this is being spun is not as a matter of policy, but as sort of a throwaway to the peasants. The Wall Street Journal says the White House hopes the fee will soothe the public's anger at financial firms. The Financial Times writes, the tax aims to address anger over bonuses. The New York Times says the general idea is to devise a levy that would help reduce the budget deficit, but the president also has a political purpose to respond to the anger building across the country. Politico reports a fee on banks would help solve two political problems. The point here is that you start to wonder whether this tax, which is so tiny compared to the bailouts, is just the optics, just an aesthetic move, not a move to really recover some of the money in a larger sense, a bigger chunk of the money that we've given out in bailouts.
Dave, what we're doing, it's a political band-aid. What we're missing is the hemorrhaging that we're doing through the Fed. What's going on is basically the Fed is printing money. And Ben Bernanke just claimed that, we made a bunch of money for the taxpayers, $50 billion last year, because the Fed, for the first time, bought up home mortgages. Okay, where is the next bubble? The next bubble is the Fed.
That's right. And I think you're talking about that bubble. And I just want to be clear because people need to understand this. The Fed is lending money at very, very low interest, 0% interest, right? To the banks, which the banks then go lend to us at, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8%. Right. So, in other words, the Fed, that is a subsidy. That is a direct taxpayer subsidy.
Right. But it's worse than that because they loan it to us at 5 or 6%. If they make money, the Fed lets them keep the money. No tax.
Right.
If they lose the money, the Fed and the TARP will bail them out again.
That's exactly right.
And I have a, let me give you a real quickie here. I think we should call a Fed chairman Bernie Bernanke. Because Bernanke is doing here what Madoff did to his investors. And that is, no, think about it.
It's totally true.
But think about it. He's giving out money and he's saying, we're making this great profit. How do we know that? Because I'm the chairman of the Fed. Trust me.
That's exactly.
No accounting.
There's no accounting. Now I will say, and Ralph, thanks for your call. I will say, finally, also belatedly, there is a move now to subpoena records from the Treasury and from the New York Fed about what it gave away specifically to AIG. The House has announced that it might move forward with an investigation and with subpoenas. So that's good news. But I completely agree with you. We'll go one more quick call, Josh in Arvada. Josh, you're on AM 760.
Hey, you know, I think Obama's doing the same thing here. He did with the. It's too little too late, just like he wasn't willing to start with single payer. He needed to start by stinking a bank or two. Should have been on the TV and said, you know, I'm just not sure Chase is solvent. Boy, I'd sure have my money in a local community bank instead of there. And then brought the bankers out and said, who's next?
Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right. From the beginning, the posture of this administration has been to coddle the banks, not to take them on. And I know some people say, well, you know, Obama, you know, he inherited this. He inherited the bailouts. No. You're not going to get away with that here in the AM 760 dojo. And Josh, I'm not saying you're saying that. But people who say that are not going to get away with that here. Barack Obama endorsed the bailout during the campaign, which provided the political pressure on the Democratic Party to also support it as well. And I'm not absolving Democrats in Congress either. My point is only, you can't say that Obama inherited the bailout culture when he was a part of the political culture that created that bailout culture. Josh, thanks for the call. That said, I do think this tax, even as meager as it is on banks, is a tiny step in the right direction. The only criticism I have of it is, where have you been and why is this tax so small? We'll take more of your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. We have a new accident, left lane blocked. Westbound Turnpike right at McCaslin. Three cars involved in this crash. It looks like the left-hand lane is blocked there. Backups all the way to Flatiron Circle and stop and go as well. Also, really busy. Normal spot southbound 225, Park Road to 25, southbound I-25, 120th to 84th. Also really busy this morning on 270 for you eastbounders, I-25 to Vasquez. Other accidents, one on 119 at the Longmont exit. Got another one, Santa Fe and Evans there in between Denver and Littleton. Also a traffic light malfunction hampering things in Highlands Ranch on Lucent Boulevard, C-470, and down to Highlands Ranch Parkway. Forecast, partly to mostly cloudy, very small chance of snow or rain in the foothills, but little to no accumulation. Look for a high of 45, right now 29 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Today at Safeway, you'll find thousands of new everyday low prices on the things you use every day. Now get everything on your list, all at the price you need. That's their promise. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
Need advice about simple home repairs? The Fix It Up with Steve and Matina show gives tips on how to do repairs around the home, maintenance that could save you from costly repairs, advice on buying and selling your home, and provides a forum for homeowner questions. And as owners of Ridgemore Realty, one of Denver's premier home buyers, they'll even purchase your home if it's beyond repair. Tune in to the Fix It Up with Steve and Matina show, Saturday mornings at 10 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund, guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money-back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.com.
73, now's the time we talk to Presidential Brokerage, 303-694-1600. Again, 303-694-1600. On the line with us today, Jason McBride in for Mike Spear. Jason is the Senior VP at Presidential Brokerage. Jason, what's going on in the markets today?
Hey, good morning, Dave. Well, so far this morning, the markets are choosing to shake off some economic news that was mixed. We had some good news on continuing jobless claims as those fell a little bit, but retail sales and home foreclosures were up much more than expected. So as you can imagine, we've got a market not doing too much, Dave. The Dow currently is up about 11 points. The NASDAQ is up about 5 right now. We'll see how we turn out by the end of the day, sir.
You can reach the team at Presidential Brokerage, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. These are up and down times. I know some people say it's going to continue going up. Some people saying it's going to go down. The thing is, you need a strategy. 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. The team at Presidential Brokerage, they're local. They're right here in Denver. Give them a call today. Hey, Jason, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
You too. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
Entertain your whole family with 99 Cent Kids and Family movie rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
Keep your hands and arms inside the ride at all times. Enjoy your ride.
Scary.
Yeah, you know, it's really scary. Paying too much for car insurance.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hi, I'm your local Geico agent.
I'm just glad to meet you.
Yeah, I live in the neighborhood, so if you ever need help saving money on car insurance, I'm always close by. We can sit down and figure out what's best and how to get you the low rates that Geico's known for. Sorry, I didn't catch that. That's what I thought you said.
If you ever need help saving money on car insurance, have questions about your policy, or just want a free rate quote, your local GEICO agent is always close by.
Your local GEICO office can help insure more than just your car. They can help you with your motorcycle, boat, homeowners, renters, and other insurance products. For a free rate quote, call 303-798-3939 today. That's 303-798-3939. Or visit your local GEICO office at 15271 East Mississippi Avenue in Aurora.
Hi, this is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $4.99 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
This is Lori from the Dollars and Cents Show for Women. Join us every Saturday morning for Financial Straight Talk at 11:30 on AM 760. Dollars and Cents for Women is a show for women by women. Tune us in for financial tips, stories, and advice every Saturday morning at 11:30 on AM 760.
On AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's going up to the mid-40s today. After the national news, we're going to play the most outrageous media clips of the day from American Taliban leader Pat Robertson and 21st century Father Coughlin, Rush Limbaugh. We'll play that for you after the national news. They relate to Haiti. Then later I'm going to fill you in on the effort by the conservative movement to politicize the Haiti tragedy in a really, really tone-deaf kind of way. It involves, actually, George W. Bush. You'd think they'd want George W. Bush as far away from this as possible. Not exactly like George W. Bush has a great record on disaster recovery. Right? I mean, that's not exactly what you'd associate George W. Bush's skills with, you know, disaster recovery. I don't know. I seem to remember him botching something big on disaster recovery.
That's... Even Barbara Bush, too.
Yeah, exactly.
What did she say about the Katrina survivors?
I can't remember. She made some horribly offensive comments. That's right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. After the national news, we'll play you the most outrageous clips of the day from the American Taliban. Then we're going to get into a discussion about terrorism. Is an abortion doctor killer a terrorist? Stick around for that.
AM 760 and CBS News bring you audio on demand on AM760.net.
60 Minutes. CBS News. Face the nation.
Stay informed with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.
It's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at Denver Boat Show. Life is better with a boat.
Now at the Home Depot, save an instant $50 to $250 on in-stock bath products to update your bathroom. Brands like American Standard and Delta. Just spend $500 or more. Remodel your thinking, too, because by putting the money you save back into your project, you can afford a nicer bathroom than you thought, thanks to instant savings of up to $250. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Entertain your whole family with 99 Cent Kids and Family movie rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. It's one small miracle in an earthquake disaster of epic proportions. CBS's Kelly Kobiea has the story from Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Fairfax County Search and Rescue out of Virginia has pulled its first survivor out of the United Nations wreckage, that six-story building that completely collapsed. He is an Estonian security guard. He was in the rubble for 37 hours, and he was pulled out, walked away, uninjured.
But tens of thousands may be dead and tens of thousands more injured and homeless. At one hospital, a father tried to comfort his infant daughter. There was no one there to treat her for a split skull and broken legs.
Okay.
President Obama will talk about the U.S. relief effort a few minutes from now. Health Secretary Sebelius says 300 medical personnel are en route to Haiti, with 12,000 more standing by.
I'm Jim Crisula. Nearly 3,500 82nd Airborne troops from Fort Bragg here in North Carolina will soon be on their way to Haiti. Their mission? To help out in the aftermath of that massive earthquake. Additional troops are on standby. The Navy is sending an aircraft carrier and three other ships, including one carrying up to 2,000 Marines.
CBS's Peter King tells us what he's been seeing on roads around the airport in Port-au-Prince.
Oh, it's collapsed. A lot of rubble all over the place. There's very little vehicular traffic. A lot of people walking, trying to get supplies, whatever they can carry on their back.
CBS's Katie Couric is in the heart of the capital city.
There's a massive sort of makeshift homeless shelter that people have been building. They have kids living in buses, families living under tarps.
There was reassuring news for Joan Prudhomme of East Greenwich, Connecticut. Her daughter and six other college students trapped by the quake are okay.
We were ecstatic. A lot of tears, a lot of joy. But, of course, that's all tempered with anxiety over the rest of our group, who we still have not received word about.
In Washington, the government says 444,000 workers filed new unemployment insurance claims last week, 11,000 more than the week before. December retail sales fell 0.3%. The number of families in danger of losing their homes has never been higher, and it's likely to stay high for some time.
Foreclosure activity is running at about 7 times the rate it ran just a few years ago. Bank repossessions are running at about 10 times the rate. And the industry simply isn't equipped to handle this kind of volume.
Realty Tracks, Rick Sharga. There's something Mikey Hicks wants you to know.
I'm not a terrorist.
What Mikey is a tow-headed 8-year-old Boy Scout from Clifton, New Jersey, whose name's on a TSA watch list because aim of someone who might actually be a threat. Try telling that to the TSA. They give him a full pat-down every time he gets on a plane since he was 2 years old.
It bothers me. He's like, I don't people like touching me. Like certain spots.
The TSA says it's working on the problem. The Dow Industrials are up 12 points. This is CBS News.
If you're a small business owner, you're used to things being hard. Managing your money, hard. Keeping customers happy, hard. Work hours, taxes, profits, hard, hard, hard. It's time for you to have something easy. Intuit QuickBooks Online makes running your business easy, and it's easy to get started. You can be sending your first invoice in just a few minutes. QuickBooks Online organizes your entire business in one place. See who's paid you and who hasn't, and compare monthly expenses all with just a few clicks. Get a 30-day free trial at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
Now at the Home Depot, save an instant $50 to $250 on in-stock bath products to update your bathroom. Brands like American Standard and Delta. Just spend $500 or more. Remodel your thinking, too, because by putting the money you save back into your project, you can afford a nicer bathroom than you thought, thanks to instant savings of up to $250. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Governor Ritter will tout the new energy economy in his State of the State speech later this morning. Earlier this week, the governor gave us a preview of his agenda. He wants Colorado to rely even more on renewable energy.
You're going to see us change the renewable energy standard to 30%.
With 30% of our energy provided by renewables, the governor predicts the new energy economy will create thousands of good-paying jobs. Today's State of the State address will be the governor's last. He's not running for re-election. Medical marijuana advocates will also be at the state capitol this morning to let lawmakers know what they think about proposals to regulate the booming pot industry. They plan to rally on the capitol's west steps at 11:30, just as Governor Ritter wraps up his State of the State speech inside. Lawmakers are considering a measure to prevent dispensaries from paying doctors who prescribe medical marijuana. Another proposal could limit the number of people a medical marijuana caregiver could supply. In sports, the Denver Nuggets beat the Orlando Magic last night, 115-97 at the Pepsi Center. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where the toughest part of this morning's commute are those boulder-bound lanes of 36. We've got a three-car crash right around McCaslin. Sounds like it's blocking up that left lane with a tow truck and some debris. Everybody's squeezed by on the right. You're going to see some delays starting right around Sheridan, getting worse the closer you get to that accident scene. Southbound I-25 still struggling in spots as you're coming out of Thornton and Northland. Same deal as you're driving across Commerce City on 270. Those eastbound lanes will start to bog down before Vasquez. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day again, temperature-wise, but not as warm as yesterday. Highs topping out in the mid-40s to go along with some cloudy skies. Currently, it's 29 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Come into Qdoba Mexican Grill today and try the new Craft 2 menu. Mix and match two smaller portion Qdoba dishes like the Naked Queso Burrito and Grilled Chicken Quesadilla for just $5.99. Qdoba Mexican Grill, handmade for real.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Fasten your seatbelts. Now, we're going to get into a very, very, what I'm sure is going to be a very, very heated discussion, as it always is, about terrorism. But before we get into that discussion, I want to play you the most outrageous clips of the last 24 hours from our own domestic media terrorists, the American Taliban. American Taliban leader Pat Robertson and American Taliban leader Rush Limbaugh making controversial does not do justice to the comments, to characterize the comments that they made yesterday about the absolutely terrible tragedy in Haiti. Let's listen to Rush Limbaugh. Here's Rush Limbaugh yesterday about the earthquake in Haiti.
Yes, I think in the Haiti earthquake, ladies and gentlemen, in the words of Rahm Emanuel, we have another crisis simply too good to waste. This will play right into Obama's hands, humanitarian, compassionate. They'll use this to burnish their credibility with the black community in both light-skinned and dark-skinned black community in this country. It's made to order for them. That's why he couldn't wait to get out there. Could not wait to get out there.
So that was Rush Limbaugh about how President Obama doing any kind of response to the Haiti tragedy would be some sort of pandering to the black community. I mean, this is really, really, really unbelievable. And I saw, I heard other comments of Limbaugh later on saying that you can tell, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically made the case that you can tell that Obama only is caring about this tragedy because of the political benefits that he could achieve with the black community, because he responded more quickly to this than he did to the underwear bomber. Now, I don't want to downplay the seriousness of the underwear bomber, although it seems to me, you know, a guy who tried to basically blow his balls off on a plane, one guy is a sign that Al-Qaeda is pretty weak, right? If that's where Al-Qaeda, if that's what we've relegated Al-Qaeda to, guys getting on one dude getting on a plane trying to blow his balls off. I mean, I think it's not that it's not a security problem, but to then, for Rush Limbaugh to then later, after making those comments you just heard, for him then to say that, oh, we know that that what I've said is true because Obama reacted more quickly to the Haiti situation than to the underwear bomber, there are potentially hundreds of thousands of people dead. Hundreds of thousands of people dead. So it's just amazing to me, and Rush Limbaugh knows that. Rush Limbaugh is a pig. He's a disgusting pig. And I don't say that just because he actually physically resembles a pig, but because he is a pig, and he is willing to politicize any tragedy. But I'm not sure he's worse than American Taliban leader Pat Robertson. Listen to Pat Robertson's comments about the Haiti situation on his television network.
Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, you know, Napoleon III and whatever. And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. Mm. True story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other, desperately poor.
Salon.com has a rundown on the front of their website right now about whether this is even, this pact with the devil idea is even vaguely true in any way at all. But that gives what Pat Robertson is saying as even a shred of credence, right? I mean, to say that a slave uprising, and by the way, not talked about in this whole Pat Robertson controversy about these comments. I haven't heard anybody talk. He's sort of attacking the Haitian people for having a slave revolt, right? I mean, that's the first thing, right? The first thing he's doing is criticizing Haitians for revolting against slave owners.
And is that actually in the history books, Dave? You notice how he's like, you know, this really happened. They got together with the devil.
There is a
whole, the devil running around Haiti and making deals?
It's absolutely absurd. There is a legend that one of the revolution leaders sacrificed a pig in a voodoo ceremony. It's a legend. It's one of these legends. And this is, again, 200-300 years ago. So the first thing I think is incredible about this is that Pat Robertson is, first of all, criticizing the Haitian people for a slave uprising. Right? I mean, Pat Robertson is taking the side of the slave owners. But obviously what's even more outrageous is that this guy has the nerve to blame some legend from 200 years ago as the reason why God is trying to smite the people of Haiti. It's just disgusting. Now, I'll tell you one thing. I'm a little bit hesitant to even have played you these clips because this is part of the American Taliban's formula. Rush Limbaugh says these things, Pat Robertson says these things, so that there's a media firestorm about them and they get more attention. So I always feel a little bit nervous about pointing them out because I don't want to give them what they want. I don't want to give the Taliban what they want. Now, speaking of terrorists, let's turn to international terrorism. There is a couple of things I want to throw out there to you, a couple pieces of news, and one of them is really, really fascinating. The first, straightforward, a new poll. Most Americans would agree to trim their civil liberties to be safer in the air. After a recent attempted terrorist attack set off a debate about full-body scans at airport, a new McClatchy poll finds that Americans lean more toward giving up some of their liberty in exchange for more safety. By the way, I thought we did that with the Patriot Act. The survey found 51% of Americans agreed that, quote, it is necessary to give up some civil liberties in order to make the country safe from terrorism. On the substance, I think that's wrong. I haven't seen anybody argue to me, and we had Bruce Schneier on, the national security expert, I haven't seen anybody argue to me that crushing our civil liberties is necessary, substantively necessary, to make our country more secure. I'll give you an example, the wiretapping situation. The idea that they need to enact wiretaps without a warrant is absurd because the warrant process through the FISA court was rejected 3 total warrant requests in 25 years. I'm giving you the vague numbers, but it's something absurd like that. My point is this. There is no substantive evidence to suggest that we have to massively give up civil liberties in order to make ourselves safer. I just don't buy that argument. Do you buy it? 303-713-7600. Give me an example if you think. Here is a place where we have to give up our civil liberties in order to make ourselves more secure. An example where there's no other alternatives where you can simultaneously protect our civil liberties and make our country more secure. And I will ask this question. If we do give up our civil liberties to quote-unquote make ourselves more secure, are we letting the terrorists win? Now, that's kind of a cliche, but is it really true? If the terrorists are trying to change quote-unquote our way of life, are we letting them win when we give up our freedoms? 303-713-7600. Now, I also want to throw out there, this is an absolutely fascinating story. The trial of Scott Roeder, he admitted he shot the abortion doctor, Dr. George Tiller, in Kansas. That trial is going on now. Now, here's what's fascinating about this and how it relates to terrorism. This is a dispatch out of Wichita, Kansas. Judge Warren Wilbert refused a prosecution request to bar the defendant from presenting evidence that might support, instead of a murder conviction, a voluntary manslaughter conviction. But the judge did not promise to allow such evidence, stating instead that he would make such decisions on a witness-by-witness basis. Now, here's the crux. Under state law, quote, an unreasonable but honest belief that circumstances existed that justified deadly force can constitute voluntary manslaughter. Let me read that again. Under state law, and a lot of states have laws like this, under Kansas law, quote, an unreasonable but honest belief that circumstances existed that justified deadly force can constitute the reduction of a murder charge to a voluntary manslaughter charge. So the idea is that, you know, if somebody breaks into your house, or you think somebody, honestly think that somebody broke into your house and you didn't know, you know, it was your wife or your brother who lives with you, your roommate, gave him a key to the house, that they were a friend. If you honestly thought somebody was breaking into your house and you have a gun in your house and you shoot them, right? Under that situation, that would constitute an unreasonable but honest belief that circumstances existed that justify deadly force. So you could argue that you shouldn't be charged with murder for shooting and killing that person who you honestly thought was an intruder. Okay, so how does it relate to terrorism? The defendant who admits to shooting the abortion doctor is effectively arguing that he had an honest belief that circumstances existed that justified deadly force. That those circumstances were that he was killing a quote-unquote, and I really put these in quotes, and I hate using this term, but he was killing, quote-unquote, a baby killer. And that was an honest but unreasonable belief that circumstances existed to justify his deadly force, his murder of Dr. George Tiller. So he is trying to get a reduced charge. So here's what's crazy about this, right? Because this is an argument, by the way, coming from the conservative right? The anti-choice people are saying this is fantastic that he's making this argument. This is great, right? Because, by the way, this would create, if this actually happens, if these charges are reduced, this guy would say to every other potential abortion doctor killer that, hey, you can get reduced charges on the same defense. But here's what's crazy. The same political right that's making this argument are the same people who say that we should put the Fort Hood shooter, you know, put him to death, right? The same people who say that that the underwear bomber, right, should be thrown in prison for the rest of his life. Couldn't those people who the political right says are quote-unquote terrorists, and I think, you know, I put the terrorists in quotes because I don't know, I think that the Fort Hood shooter, if you think all shooters are terrorists and the Fort Hood shooter, for instance, was a terrorist, if you think, because there's other shooters from, there were other shootings, you know, the guy up in Binghamton who killed 13 people. My point here is this. Can't you say, wouldn't this defense, if you allow an abortion doctor killer to have his charges reduced to manslaughter, because he's saying he had an unreasonable but honest belief that circumstances existed that justified deadly force against abortion doctors, aren't Islamic terrorists, aren't all terrorists, Islamic or otherwise, Timothy McVeigh, aren't they going to make the same argument? Can't they make the same argument? Can't the Fort Hood shooter say, hey, look, I had an unreasonable but honest belief that circumstances existed that justified deadly force. My imam told me that this was a good idea, and that if I killed people at Fort Hood, it would stop the war, the broader war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Isn't this opening the door to saying to all sorts of shooters, hey, all you got to do is argue that you honestly believed that what you were doing was justified by deadly force? And if that's true, why is the same political right saying that an abortion doctor killer should be allowed to make that argument and be allowed to get off on that argument, but other kinds of terrorists, and I consider Scott Roeder, the shooter, a terrorist, why can't other kinds of terrorists make that argument? Isn't this opening the door? What do you think? 303-713-7600. This is a very, very controversial topic, and I wonder where you come down on it. 303-713-7600. You can go to our website, am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page, and instant message us as well your thoughts on this. After the break, we'll open up the AM760 Progressive Dojo. Also, I will fill you in on this effort by the conservative movement to politicize in a much more subtle way than Pat Robertson and Rush Limbaugh, to politicize the Haiti disaster, the shock doctrine people, one of the most prominent right-wing think tanks suggesting that George W. Bush get involved. I am not making this up. Stick around for that. And the AM760 Progressive Dojo after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Power outage, the massive one in the downtown area, basically east of Broadway, up towards University, in between 23rd and Colfax. Police are out now directing traffic at some of the busier intersections. So I don't know how to tell you this, but avoid downtown if you can. Also got a three-car crash blocking the left lane westbound turnpike at McCaslin. Delays back to Flatiron Circle. Also a crash on the diagonal at the Longmont exit, Highway 119. Also traffic light malfunctions in Highlands Ranch on Lucent near C-470. And also seeing the normal jam southbound 225 Park Road at 25. Speeds in the teens there. Your forecast, mostly cloudy but not enough moisture to create any snow or rain. Possible light snow in the foothills today, but very little accumulation, if any. Highs will be in the mid-40s. Right now, 32 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
It's listen to some of the reasons why thousands of employees have reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance.
I reported software piracy because it's just plain wrong for businesses to copy software illegally. I would report software piracy again, no matter what.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
Try right-size smoothies for free. Call now for a free two-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
The Randy Rhoads Show.
The birthers are now attacking Glenn Beck. Do you know that? Because Glenn Beck, he has mocked them as being crazies. Word to the birthers. When you're too crazy for Glenn Beck, it's a good time to take a look at yourself.
Randy Rhoads, weeknights at 7.
Look in the mirror. And if Joan Rivers is staring back at you, you're a Glenn Beck viewer.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
A25 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. The Heritage Foundation, one of the most preeminent, if not the preeminent, conservative think tank, yesterday on its website put up a post about the Haiti situation. And I was reading it, and there's a lot of talk that Naomi Klein has a piece saying that we have to watch out for the shock doctrine people, the people who are going to use the situation to try to privatize Haiti and make a lot of money off of Haiti. Naomi Klein saying we should watch out for that. Well, the Heritage Foundation has been one of the big shock doctrine advocates. And I caught this on its website, and this is really unbelievable. And it's talking about what should be done to help Haiti. And in this post, it says, you know, the U.S. government response should be bold and decisive. It must mobilize civilian and military capabilities for rescue and relief. President Obama should tap high-level bipartisan leadership, says the Heritage Foundation. Clearly, former President Clinton, who was already named as the UN envoy on Haiti, is a logical choice. President Obama, and I'm reading here again from the Heritage Foundation, should also reach out to a senior Republican figure, perhaps former President George W. Bush, to lead the bipartisan effort for Republicans. George W. Bush. George W. Bush. George Hurricane Katrina W. Bush. Now, you could argue that George W. Bush might be a decent, you know, a decent person, maybe to deal with some of the baseball stuff. Right? I mean, you could make that argument. To make the argument that George W. Bush should be involved in the U.S. government's rescue and recovery efforts, from a natural disaster I thought I was reading The Onion. I mean, I literally thought I was reading The Onion, but I'm not. This is how the conservatives see the world. This is a good window into how conservatives see the world. They actually, deep in their mind, they are hardwired to believe that actually George W. Bush's record proves that he knows how to handle disaster, recovery, and rescue. It's unbelievable. I'm not making this up. It's on the Heritage Foundation's website. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Let's gong in, if we can, the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open, and we're talking about terrorism here, and there's a new poll that says 51%, a majority of Americans, are willing to give up more of their civil liberties and think giving up more of their civil liberties is necessary to make us more safe from terrorists. Simultaneously, this court case in Kansas about the George Tiller murder, the murder of the abortion doctor. This is fascinating and disturbing. The conservative movement, the anti-choice people, are arguing that the shooter, Scott Roeder, who acknowledges that he is the shooter of George Tiller, that he should not be charged with murder, that he should be charged with manslaughter, which of course comes with much reduced sentences, because they argue that Roeder was acting on an unreasonable but honest belief that circumstances existed that justified his deadly force. That is the law. That is the definition of manslaughter, of to reduce from murder to manslaughter. That the idea is that if you have a belief that you're acting, that the circumstances existed that justified your deadly force, then you're only charged or you're only convicted of manslaughter. But doesn't this open up the door for terrorists of all kinds to make the same argument, right? Couldn't the underwear bomber argue, hey, I was under the unreasonable but honest belief that if I blew up my pelvis and blew up the plane and killed a lot of people, that was justified. Doesn't this open up the door for terrorists and Islamic terrorists and all the other terrorists that the political right says they hate? Isn't the political right making an argument to let those terrorists off as well? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones. We'll go to Tim in Aurora. Tim, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David.
Morning. How are you? Good.
A couple points to make. I absolutely believe the man who killed Dr. Tiller and those of his ilk are nothing but murderers and terrorists. I mean, the definition is the terror is to strike fear. I mean, he's striking fear into the community with this act.
And by the way, I think, you know, it's tough to define, you know, in the vernacular, the definition of terrorism, it's sort of fluid. And I think you're right. I think one of the things that, at least in the vernacular, I'm not talking legally here, but in the vernacular, that we can define terrorism as, is the act that is committed designed not just to impact in a violent way the individuals who are directly impacted, but is designed to incite fear. And if under that definition, clearly Scott Roeder, who shot George Tiller, was trying to incite fear among the pro-choice community, among people who might want to use abortion services.
I agree.
What do you think about this defense, though? I mean, this is in state law. In Kansas state law, like in other state in many other states, it says manslaughter to separate it out from murder is somebody who commits manslaughter was acting in an unreasonable but honest belief that the circumstances existed that justified their actions.
Well, it's just like you said. I mean, that could be used in defense of countless murders. I mean,
what's really, really interesting, why this is so analogous to other kinds of terrorism, because he is arguing, look, You know, because usually this is used in a self-defense way, right? You know, somebody intruded in my house, I shot them, you know, maybe the person who broke into my house didn't have a gun, I didn't need to shoot them, so they're only charging me with manslaughter. Okay. You thought you were acting in self-defense, fine. He is arguing that because the person he killed, he believed, is a quote-unquote baby killer, that was, you know, societal self-defense, which, of course, is the same thing that Islamic terrorists argue, right? Osama bin Laden, hey, look, we killed a lot of Americans to stop their killing and their invasions of the Middle East, sure. In the Middle East. I mean, it's this, and what's fascinating here is that the political right doesn't see what they're supposed to be the law and order types. They are making the antithesis of a law and order argument.
Well, the political right has nothing to, they don't ever act actually on anything they speak about. They don't ever, they're the Christians, they're the value people, but they don't ever act that way.
Well, I guess
they don't
act
like the law and order people, they just speak about it.
That's exactly right. And I guess the open question is whether we should distinguish between manslaughter and murder based on what is going on inside of the perpetrator's head. I guess that's really the question. Are we really going to distinguish between, are we really going to reduce charges if somebody argues, hey, I thought it was the right thing to do? Right? Is that really grounds for changing how we enforce the law, the difference between manslaughter and murder? Hey, Tim, thanks for the call. Keith in Denver. Keith, you're on AM 760. Hello, Keith.
Oh, hi there. Sorry, I didn't hear that. I'm a conservative. I'm anti-abortion, but what Mr. Rose did was wrong, and I think this defense is wrong. I mean, it was wrong to murder Dr. Tiller.
Do you think it was an act of terrorism?
Yeah. I mean, he was inciting terror. Yeah. So I mean, it was wrong. But I think one thing is you're always going to have groups of people that are going to cheer people who are doing something, whether it was when the Lockerbie bomber went back to Libya, you know, it was a great big homecoming.
Right, right.
And so people are always going to do that. But as a conservative, anti-abortion, I'm a pastor, not practicing right now in business world, what he did was wrong. And, was a very shameful of the faith. So,
well, and I obviously agree, and I appreciate you as a conservative making an honest argument in the sense that, you know, yes, you can be against abortion and think killing Dr. Tiller is not acceptable, right? I mean, it's kind of, I've always found this kind of weird, right? The idea that you can be, that there are some groups, and it's obviously not all people who oppose abortion support, you know, people who murder or terrorize abortion clinics. So the idea here is you can oppose abortion and if you call yourself pro-life, be against the kind of thing that Scott Roeder did. But frankly, I think most Americans, whether you support a woman's right to choose or you're against abortion, most Americans come down on the side of, hey, you shouldn't be shooting anybody in this society at all. Hey, Keith, thanks so much for the call, man. 836 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Is the conservative movement playing with fire in the case against Dr. George Tiller in the sense of how we deal with terrorists? Yes, this has to deal with terrorists, potential legal precedent being set down. The pro-life people are arguing that the guy who shot the abortion doctor in Kansas shouldn't be charged with murder, that he should have his charges reduced to manslaughter, because manslaughter laws say that somebody's sentences are reduced if they had an unreasonable but honest belief that circumstances existed to justify their deadly force. Well, if that's the case, if you can justify killing an abortion doctor with that argument, can't Islamic terrorists make the same argument? Hey, I was just killing a lot of Americans because I thought it was justified to stop wars in the Middle East. Couldn't Timothy McVeigh have made that case? I killed a lot of Americans to stop these government policies, and I thought killing those Americans was justified. Is the conservative law and order movement quote-unquote law and order movement, making an argument against itself. 303-713-7600. We'll get to your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Still got this crash on the turnpike westbound side at McCaslin. Three cars involved here, so it's quite a mess. It's blocking the left-hand side of the highway there. Backups to Flatiron Circle, where speeds are going to be in the teens, maybe 20s. Northbound 25 really shutting down for us now, too. Downing Street Bridge up to 6th Avenue. Approach southbound side also busy from 70 past 20th. Power outage also in the downtown area. Traffic signals are affected. Police are directing traffic at some of the busier intersections there near the Capitol and to the east there on Colfax up to 23rd Avenue. Going to be busy there. Also, traffic light malfunctions on Lucent near C-470, National Western Stock Show underway at the National Western Complex. Expect some more traffic on 70 around the Mousetrap and east of I-25 for you this week. Forecast probably mostly cloudy, very small chance of snow or rain. That could happen in the foothills mostly, but little to no accumulation. Look for a high of 45, right now 33 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Pearle Vision, where they do things differently to make your eye care experience a whole lot better. Like being upfront about costs, so there's no surprises at the register, and taking time to help you understand your insurance coverage. Visit pearlevision.com to learn more. Pearle Vision, clearly different.
Hi, this is Dave Logan, speaking for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Colorectal cancer is now the second leading cancer killer in the U.S. However, it can be prevented with a screening test that finds and removes small growths in the colon called polyps before they become cancerous. Men and women 50 and older should talk to their doctor about colorectal cancer screening. In health, as in football, winning starts with a good defense.
Call the American Cancer Society at 1-866-227-7914.
Time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at denverboatshow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
The perfect Serta mattress. A little plush, a little firm, plenty of support in all the right places. It just makes you want to... No wonder Serta's called the makers of the world's best mattresses. And you'll always find the best Serta savings at Sam's Club and samsclub.com. With incredible members-only prices, like queens from just $298 and twins from just $99. Get the perfect deal on the perfect Serta mattress today at Sam's Club. And rest easy. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
And group. You'll learn new amazing ways to succeed, unlike anything you've ever done. I promise. Masterminds produce superb accountability in a fun, powerful, and real environment. Team up with like-minded men and women who are dedicated to beginning their year, maximizing their success in these tough times. Learn the three greatest myths that current success psychology has wrong. And make no mistake, believing in these myths is hurting you. Discover the latest in neurosciences. Not only learn what the top 10% of successful people know, act on it and act now. Call me now, 303-904-0077, 303-904-0077, or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net. That's williamsumner.net.
Hi, this is Troy Hampshire, host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Join us every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on AM 760. We are your 401k rollover and IRA specialist. Give your money the power and protection that you need every Saturday morning, 11 a.m., Dollars and Cents on AM 760.
AutoZone.
Winter conditions are tough on a car, so protect your engine at AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Regular oil changes keep your engine running smoothly in tough conditions. Now at AutoZone, get a 5-plus quart oil change jug or 5 single quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for just $16.99. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Get ready to ride out the winter. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
8:42 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. New poll says most Americans would give up their civil liberties and think it's necessary to give up many of their civil liberties to make airports safe. I don't buy that. I don't buy that it's necessary. I think there are ways to not have to give up our civil liberties. And I think by giving up our civil liberties, we're letting the terrorists win. Also, this court case in Kansas about the abortion doctor killer, the George Tiller murder trial. The defense is saying, the defense, whose client, Scott Roeder, admits he shot Dr. Tiller, says because the shooter was acting, had an unreasonable but honest belief that he was acting in a justified way, that his charges should be reduced to manslaughter. Doesn't that open up the door to reducing charges for all kinds of terrorists? I mean, seems to me the guy who shot George Tiller is a terrorist on the basic definition that their terrorism is designed to incite fear in the broader community. It's not just aimed at the person or the victim of the crime, that it's aimed at victimizing a whole community. Isn't the defense, the political right is making this defense, aren't they arguing, giving a perfect defense argument to terrorists? All sorts of other terrorists. 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. We're getting a lot of your instant messages here. I'll read off a couple of them in a few minutes here. We'll go to Christine in Arvada. Christine, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David. I think that Americans need to kind of, in a way, get over the idea that freedom is safe, that freedom includes anything to do with safety. Freedom is not. I mean, true freedom for everybody is anarchy, and that's not safe at all. Freedom is inherently unstable. And of course you would have to give up civil liberties if you want to be safe, but we have to make the choice. What kind of safety are you looking for? To me, the whole thing is fear-mongering. You look at the percentages, you look at statistics, and you still have a far lower chance of dying in an aircraft in a terrorist attack than you do in your morning commute every GD day. So this idea that we have to make it more safe is just ridiculous.
Well, and also I want to add to that by saying this. I might even be willing to have the discussion if I was confident that the government was doing everything that it could do within the boundaries of respecting our civil liberties. So let's go over some examples here, right? Richard Reed was on a watch list and tried to get on a plane twice or three times, right? The guy, the underwear bomber, was on a no-fly list and was told not to. We had intelligence from his father, who told our intelligence agencies that his son was a threat. So my point is this. Why are we jumping to, hey, let's give up civil liberties to make ourselves more safe, when in fact, obviously, we haven't done what we could do.
We haven't done due diligence.
We haven't done the due diligence on the stuff that we could do that don't have anything to do with civil liberties, right? It seems to me the first reaction should not be, hey, let's give up our civil liberties. It should be, hey, let's make sure the information that we had is actually used.
It's part of the whole fear-mongering idea that you're going to die.
So we'll do anything to make sure you don't die.
You'll do anything to make sure you don't die. And people buy into it. And the fact is that, we need to understand, like I said, I think on a very basic and philosophical level that, yes, and that chance exists every day of your life, and every choice you make relates to that. So get over it, and fly or don't fly, but don't tell me that I have to give up my civil liberties because you need your little cushioned rubber room to feel safe.
Yeah, I agree. And that is, by the way, the formula. The formula is to scare the bejesus out of everybody and say that we need to get rid of our civil liberties. And this justified the Patriot Act. This justified warrantless wiretapping. This is going to justify more intrusive stuff at the airports. And again, I just would encourage people to think honestly about the facts of what's going on here. Before we do all of that stuff, shouldn't we say, hey, let's make sure we're at least doing what we could be doing without doing that stuff? Right, I would have the argument with you. Well, if this guy, we didn't have anything on this, the underwear bomber, you might say, why didn't we have anything on this guy? We had everything on this guy, and we didn't use it. Hey, Christine, thanks for the call. Barb and Aurora. Barb, you're on AM 760.
Thank you.
Hey there.
Hey, David?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm calling about the judicial ruling.
Yes.
And to me, it would be going down a slippery slope. It could allow, I mean, the man, the doctor, was not performing illegal acts. Abortions are legal. And so the rotor killed someone who was not doing something illegal. So then you look at other things. You know, that judicial ruling could allow radicals of various lengths to get away, in fact, with murder.
All right, well, let me play devil's advocate because I do agree with you. Let me just play devil's advocate here. We've set up manslaughter laws. We distinguish between murder and manslaughter. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a concealed carry permit. You're walking late at night. Somebody comes up to you. You think that they're going to mug you. You legitimately think that they're going to mug you. You shoot them. You kill them. Okay.
Hold on a second.
Now, that person, let's say later on you find out that they weren't packing any heat, they weren't planning to, you know, all the evidence, they were just walking down the street, they were doing something totally legal, just to use the analogy, just like George Tiller, the abortion doctor, in his practice was doing something totally legal. So how do you square that circle? How do you, you know, because, I'm making the case of the defense here, right? They're saying, you know, they would say to you, hey, George Tiller was doing something legal, but our guy, the defendant who shot him, thought he was, you know, felt justified in killing George Tiller. Isn't there a similarity there?
Yes, there is. And part of it is your own bodily harm. What Tiller was not threatening Roeder at all. There was no threat there. Now, Roeder could say that it was. I mean, just like someone who doesn't like gays, for example.
That's right. Roeder makes
they could use the argument, you're threatening my way of life.
That's exactly right.
So I'm going to kill him. Or a teacher in a classroom presenting material that you don't like. Oh, she was threatening my child.
Although Tiller's, the guy who killed Tiller, Scott Roeder's defendants, he's arguing not just that you're threatening my quote-unquote way of life. He's arguing you're quote-unquote killing babies, you're actually killing people in my community. Now, I obviously don't subscribe to that.
Who anointed Roeder as the savior of these children?
No, that's exactly right. Except that all I'm saying is this, and I know I'm only playing devil's advocate here. It is a smart, legalistically, it is a very, very, for at least for Scott Roeder, it is a very, very crafty argument. And the question is, then you start asking, well, how are we really defining the difference between murder and manslaughter?
Right.
And, you know, I think one difference there is, and I'm sure you agree, is that the killer of George Tiller was not acting out of personal self-defense,
right,
obviously, and was attempting to terrorize his community, his broader community. That's why I say he's a terrorist.
That's right.
Right.
I absolutely agree.
He didn't just have a dispute with George Tiller and just wanted to kill George Tiller and didn't care what the impact would be on the rest of the community. He wanted to send a message to the community, to his state, to his city, to his country.
And he did send that message. There are women that I work with who are worried about going to some of these clinics.
That's exactly right. And the thing is, that's exactly the aim of Islamic terrorists. That's exactly the aim of right-wing militia terrorists like Timothy McVeigh, like the Knoxville Unitarian Universalist Church shooter. I'll fill you in on what that happened with that back in 2008. That is terrorism. And to say, oh, well, the terrorists felt justified in their own mind. They honestly felt justified. That is not law and order. That's the antithesis of law and order, even though the political right backs, or at least factions of the political right, are backing the idea that the abortion doctor killer should have his sentence reduced. Hey, thanks for the call. 852 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Still got this crash on the turnpike. It's on the westbound side at McCaslin. Three cars blocking the left-hand side of the highway there. You're going to start hitting the jams at Flatiron Circle. Northbound and southbound I-25 starting to loosen up a little bit, but still some slower speeds there on the approaches into downtown. New crash eastbound 6th Avenue near Bryant Street. And it looks like that power outage is no longer a problem in the downtown area. Forecast, mostly cloudy, but not enough moisture to create any rain or snow today. Possible light snow in the foothills, but little accumulation expected. Highs are going to be in the mid-40s. Right now, 33 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Toyota owners, road safety starts where rubber meets road. Through January, when you visit your local neighborhood Toyota dealer, buy three tires and get the fourth for just $1. For the right tires at the right price, trust your neighborhood Toyota dealer. Toyota, the right choice.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First up at auction, we have here a very rare Ming vase from the Ming Dynasty. We will start the bidding at free. Do I hear free?
Free? I'll take it.
Sold to the young lady in the front row for $0.
Wait.
Free is better. Do your simple federal return for free at TurboTax.com. It's free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. No wonder TurboTax is the most trusted brand of tax software. Visit TurboTax.com today. Choose easy. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Following statements are documented responses from Ovation Cell Therapy clients in an online customer survey.
Your product is the greatest I have ever used. I'm so glad I tried it. My hair was incredibly thin and dull before Ovation. Now it's like a new head of hair. Thicker, shinier, and even the color is improved. People keep asking me if I dyed my hair. Thanks for a great product.
I was skeptical about the success stories from Ovation customers, but I'm not anymore. Not only did my hair grow faster, the Ovation system made my hair soft. And I experience less breakage.
These survey responses are from people just like you, sharing their Ovation experiences of thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer hair. Improve the health of your hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory discount. That's OvationHair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. OvationHair.com.
Ovation is so good,
it's guaranteed.
The following is a free offer from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Satisfaction is guaranteed.
The Foundation for Healthier Living is now giving away free 2-week trials of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you are concerned about your weight and need to lose more than 20 pounds, you may call and request a free trial now. The toll-free number is 1-800-400-8432. Please note that this free trial is only available to men and women in this listening area. If you do not live in this area, you are not eligible for the free 2-week trial. Again, this is a free weight loss trial from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Anyone who is concerned about their weight may call now for a free 2-week trial of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you do not lose the weight, you never pay for the product. Call for your free trial now. 1-800-400-8432. That's 1-800-400-8432. 1-800-400-8432.
Rate based on APR of 5.53%. Approval contingent on full underwriting analysis. Check website for licensing information. Premium Capital Funding, LLC, DBA Top Dot Mortgage, 125 Jericho Turnpike, Jericho, New York.
You worked hard to get where you are. A nice house. A couple of cars in the garage. Unfortunately, you've also got an adjustable rate mortgage that could increase anytime. But now you can take control, because Top Dot Mortgage, an equal housing lender, is now offering FHA 30-year fixed rate loans at the historical low of 4.875%. You could save hundreds of dollars a month. You heard me. Hundreds of dollars a month. At Top Dot, we provide a low-stress, customized approach so you can get the right mortgage to suit your individual needs. And right now, you can get your rate absolutely free. Just call 1-800-500-6244. These historically low fixed rates may only be available for a limited time. For free information, 1-800-500-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
If terrorists feel justified under the circumstances that their terrorism, that their violence is justified? Should their charges be reduced? That's what the Scott Roeder, the guy who shot George Tiller, the abortion doctor, is arguing, saying his charges should be reduced from murder to manslaughter, because manslaughter laws say that if somebody who commits a crime legitimately thinks that their crime is justified, then they should be charged only with manslaughter. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Truman in Idaho Springs. Truman, you're on AM 760.
Oh, hey, I just going to say that same argument could be used for the healthcare debate. I mean, why couldn't somebody take that exact same logic and even say it's in the interest of self-preservation or and not even terrorism by using that against, say, a Joe Lieberman that's blocking healthcare reform, thereby saving 45,000
Truman, I didn't even think about it that way. You mean, somebody goes and terrorizes Joe Lieberman or goes and terrorizes an insurance industry executive and then makes the exact same case. Hey, I was just trying to save my life. It was an unreasonable belief, but I honestly thought it was justified, and so you shouldn't charge me with murder. You should only charge me with manslaughter. That's exactly right. That's exactly the slippery slope. And you know what? You're obviously right that on health care, based on those parameters, I'm not actually arguing this, but if those parameters are really what we respect in the law, you'd have an even greater, more intense argument on an issue like health care. Truman, great point. Thanks for the call. All right, stick around. After the break, one of my favorite authors and humorists, George Saunders, after the break.
AM 760 and CBS News bring you audio on demand on AM760.net.
60 minutes.
CBS.
Face the nation.
Stay informed with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan.
Help is arriving. Much more help is on the way.
President Obama at the White House this morning says help for earthquake-ravaged Haiti is the top government priority.
Today I'm also announcing an immediate investment of $100 million to support our relief efforts. This will mean more of the life-saving equipment, food, water, and medicine that will be needed.
The first wave of U.S. relief and medical teams is starting to arrive, military ships and soldiers soon. CBS's Peter King has just landed at the airport where a logjam is developing with more planes and helicopters coming in.
Many of these people are staying right here at the airport. They have yet to receive their marching orders. They're not sure where to go or what to do just yet.
Amid the suffering, CBS's Kelly Kobiea is following rescue efforts in Port-au-Prince.
These workers think they've heard someone calling from underneath the rubble. They think they can get to him. They know he's alive. And they're just working to unload all of this debris to see if they can bring him out.
A Haitian Red Cross official now estimates the death toll at up to 50,000, with 3 million hurt or homeless. The State Department confirms the first American death there. With communications what they are, many people in this country are desperate for information on loved ones. WCBS Radio's Marla Diamond has more from a Haitian community in Brooklyn, New York.
Many desperate, unable to get information on loved ones in Haiti, crammed into the halls of Radio Soleil, a Haitian station in Brooklyn. Rico Dupuy is station manager.
The calls are really heart-wrenching, difficult to bear. Some of the situation that you're hearing, the despair in their voices.
He says the focus now is on sending aid, cash donations, to help bury the dead.
President Obama has tapped former Presidents George W. Bush and Bill Clinton to spearhead fundraising efforts for Haiti earthquake relief. President Obama is proposing a new 10-year tax on the country's largest banks to cover what's thought to be a $117 billion gap in the government's bailout fund. Banking analyst Bert Ely doesn't expect these big banks will pay the fee out of profits.
What steps will these companies take to reduce their own tax burden, either by shrinking themselves, moving assets off balance sheet, or just frankly passing it through to customers?
A House committee is probing bailout deals and demanding that New York Fed hand over correspondence from now Treasury Secretary Geithner and other officials who were at the New York Fed at the time of the crisis. The government says retail sales were off 0.3% in December.
Unfortunately, it looks like consumers didn't hit the stores as much as we had hoped they would.
Economist Joel Naroff, despite the numbers, most major chains had said they were satisfied with results last month. The number of people seeking first-time jobless benefits, by the way, rose last week by about 11,000. Wall Street, the Dow and NASDAQ, both down about a point. This is CBS News.
Who uses Oreck upright vacuums? Over 10 million people, that's who. People with do, as do people with a because whether you have a or a you know that pet hair somehow ends up everywhere. That's why there's the new incredibly maneuverable Oreck XL Platinum Pilot Vacuum with 360 steering. The new Oreck Pilot turns at the flick of a wrist to easily go where pet hair does. Turn left, turn right. Go in corners and corner furniture all in one clean motion. Call 1-877-98-ORECK today to find out who else cleans with an Oreck.
Now at the Home Depot, save an instant $50 to $250 on in-stock bath products to update your bathroom. Brands like American Standard and Delta. Just spend $500 or more. Remodel your thinking, too, because by putting the money you save back into your project, you can afford a nicer bathroom than you thought, thanks to instant savings of up to $250. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Help is arriving in Haiti this morning. Rescue workers believe some people are still alive, but trapped in the rubble with Haitians helpless to get them out. Roxanne Dunn is a canine search specialist with FEMA Colorado's Search and Rescue Task Force 1.
Well, we've seen some miraculous things in the past in previous disasters that people have survived for an amazing amount of time. So we're operating on the hope that this is the same sort of circumstance.
Helicopters are now ferrying supplies to U.S. cargo planes. They're carrying food, water, medics, and rescue teams with trained search dogs. Governor Bill Ritter delivers his last State of the State speech this morning. The governor's address is at 11 o'clock. Governor Ritter is not seeking re-election to a second term. Medical marijuana advocates want to let Colorado lawmakers know what they think about proposals to regulate or limit the booming medical pot industry. They plan to rally on the Capitol's west steps this morning, just as Governor Ritter should be wrapping up his State of the State speech. In sports, the Denver Nuggets beat the Orlando Magic last night 115-97 at the Pepsi Center. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where this morning's commute pretty late to recover in spots. Southbounders on I-25 on that approach to 104th, still seeing speeds running in the teens and 20s. A crash is being cleaned up westbound 36 at McCaslin, causing delays as you're trying to get to Boulder. You may find some single digits once you get past Sheridan. They've mopped up a crash eastbound 6th Avenue that occurred right around Bryant. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a cloudy day with a high of about 44, 45 degrees. Currently, it's 32. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Drive. Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind the plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Joining us now, one of my favorite writers, authors, I guess humorists, you could call him at times or most of the time. George Saunders, his book, one of my favorites, The Brain Dead Megaphone, was a collection of essays that I encourage everybody to buy. He's also written a bunch of different books, In Persuasion Nation, Civil War Land, In Bad Decline, and he is a recipient, among other awards. You read his resume on Wikipedia, and it's like all these different awards. It's incredible. He writes for The New Yorker, Harper's, McSweeney's. He's won the O. Henry Award, and he's been given a genius grant by the MacArthur Foundation. I just will start out with this, George. What is it like to be given a genius grant? I mean, to have the MacArthur Foundation tell you that you're a genius. Is that humbling, or is it like you walk around and you just think that you get to know that you're awesome? I mean, what is it like to feel like that?
Well, it makes a lot of trouble around the house because when I leave the toilet seat up, hey, good job, genius. it was really, it's really nice. And it maybe said something about my psychology that when I got that, I started trying harder. Like maybe it was something you had to kind of live up to. So.
Oh, yeah. You sort of feel like, wow, I guess I better be or act like a genius. Huh?
That's right. Yeah. That's
yeah. So you wrote this piece, and because we talk a lot about politics on this show, you wrote this piece in the New Yorker, I guess it was, about a year ago, about Sarah Palin. And we're going to link it on our website, AM760.net. And you write about a lot of different things. And, now we're a year out from after the election, after you wrote that piece. And the Sarah Palin phenomenon and zeitgeist that you capture in this piece seems only to have gotten more intense. Is that your perception of it? And I guess, are you must not lack for things to write about in the political world of late.
No, actually, I've had to kind of pull away from it a little bit because I think, I'm actually a better writer when I'm not being overtly political. And, I'm sure like you and some of your listeners, when things get a little too crazy, I kind of feel compelled to get into that arena. But I've just been, I think she's, my wife said, it's a bit like that, in Chekhov, he says, if there's a loaded gun on the wall, or there's a gun on the wall in the first act, it has to go off in the third.
Right.
And we've been watching her, and it's like, somebody who comes on with that much sort of weird energy, they just don't go away in American politics. It's not the case that someone would do a slow fade because they're inarticulate or because they seem a little bit mean-spirited. The slow fade we don't do. It doesn't seem like,
No, and there's too much. I mean, frankly, there's too much money to be made off of Sarah Palin. By the way, on both sides, right? I mean, Fox News has a lot to make off her, and progressive media has a lot to make off sort of a backlash to her. What do you think out there right now when you look out on our crazy and seemingly crazier and crazier society? As a writer, as somebody who does narrative reporting at times, what are the things you find most interesting or crazy or both right now out there in our society?
Well, part of me says it's always been thus. I guess I'm getting older now, and I think, if you go and look at the ancient Romans, they weren't exactly, models of sanity either. But in a more relative way, I think you actually just you hit it on the head when you said that there's a lot of money to be made. And my sense is that the both the I'll put these in quotes, the left and the right, as they manifest in big media, are heavily invested in keeping the rancor high. And basically the people that we are probably talking about by implication, the big sort of political media guys, they are entertainers and they are cleaning up. And they're cleaning up, I think, exploiting a difference between left and right is certainly real. I would argue it's probably even neurological at some level, but it's not nearly as catastrophic in the real world as it's made to be in the media. In other words, I think there's probably what I've gone through the last couple of years is a revelation that there's a lot of workable space between left and right in the actual world that is kind of being ignored by these big media presences because it is an inflammatory.
Well, when you bring that up, you know, I'll bring up, it's not a left-right example, but from one of your essays, you went to Dubai, and there's this great scene in this piece you wrote about your trip there, and it was just a great piece, and there's this scene where you've got, what was it, the former or the on leave military guys from the U.S. military, and they're in this water theme park, and there are these, I guess, Arab teenagers, and they're sort of looking at each other like at the beginning, they're going up walking up the water slide, and they're looking at each other kind of suspiciously, and then suddenly everybody's in the pool having a good time, and it's sort of like, it seems to me they sort of, you know, the way I read it was they bring their stereotypes to the sort of initial meeting, but then when they're sort of interacting, everybody realizes, you know what, there's actually some commonality here, and it's this, look, it's the same thing, you know, in politics and media, and I guess there must not be a lot of a lack of stuff for you to be covering. What have you been working on of late? I know a lot of the listeners read your stuff. What have you been doing of late?
Well, the most recent thing I did was in April, I went to Fresno, California, and lived in a homeless camp for a week, kind of quasi-incognito. I just went out there and kind of, you know, the people right around me, I told them what I was doing, and they sort of didn't believe me. And then I just blended for a week. And that was really profound. And it made you realize that the great tragedy maybe of our contemporary media atmosphere is that that kind of thing either gets overlooked or gets politicized in this way that doesn't really do any good. It was a truly, I mean, sobering, tragic, anxiety-producing, anger-producing experience to see, you know, the poverty and so on. So I wrote a piece for GQ about that, and now I'm trying to expand that into a book-length thing because there's a lot of good stuff I had to
As a writer, how do you, like, when you go through something like that, and how do you convey it, the story? I mean, is there a struggle when you come back and you sit down to write after you've done all your reporting? Is there a struggle about how political you want to get? Because you must come away from something like that and feel all sorts of what we would conventionally call political emotions. You know, how could the media not cover this? And how do you feel that tension there between telling the story and then sort of railing on the situation?
Well, you know what's interesting, David, is when I go out there, I usually have that sense of how I'm going to politicize it. And being there strips away a lot of that because you see the complexity of it transcends or overturns all the sort of habitual left-right or whatever. You know, whatever ideas you bring to it, being there usually strips them away. And that's actually, I've become a bit addicted to that feeling where you go out to someplace like that, or I did a piece on the Mexican border. You go out there, in my case, with all the liberal flags flying. But the beautiful heat of reality just burns all that stuff away, and suddenly you're halfway through the trip, I'm usually just totally bereft of ideas.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned the down on the border. And again, on the line with us, George Saunders, the writer and author. You can find his work in The New Yorker, Harper's, McSweeney's, GQ. We have one of his articles linked on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. When I traveled down to the border and spent some time with the Minutemen for my book, I came down, it was the same way. I mean, I came down feeling, you know, with my politics, and I came away, and we write different things, but I definitely had the politics in what I wrote, but I also came away with some emotions that I didn't think I would feel. I mean, when I went down there, for instance, I felt, came away feeling profound sadness. Just
yeah.
For the whole situation, like not just, you know, both for the people coming over the border and for the kind of psychology of the Minutemen themselves.
Right, absolutely. You know, there's a wonderful story about a Buddhist monk, highly realized Buddhist monk, and all he did was weep all the time, you know. And the idea that to a certain extent this life here can be very frustrating and very sad. And when you go to a situation like that, sadness is actually, I think, a pretty deep response, you know, as opposed to the kind of happiness that you have the simple solution. And that everybody down there is, you know, a suffering human being trying to do the best they can, heavily laden with their own neuroses and their fears and so on. I think that, you know, this is something I struggle with because I really like writing fiction. And I think fiction has those ideas in mind. That's the heart of fiction. A lot of the nonfiction I do tends to slip over a little bit into polemic. And you know, I'm kind of struggling with that a little bit, especially in times like ours where there are some real problems and there are some real forces that are not, you know, intending good for us. I think it for me, it's a struggle to see, well, do I want to write fiction that sort of errs on the side of compassion and trying to find the good in everyone, or the other side, which surfaces very easily, do I want to be a little more kind of aggressive and rancorous and that kind of thing? But,
well, we hear a lot of about the publishing industry and really the content industry, the media industry, and my fear has been that with everything accelerating, the 24-hour news cycle, Twitter, Facebook, all, you know, blogs, all this stuff, that there is a increasingly an imperative for people like you, writers, for magazines, books, that kind of thing, to if not move more quickly, then at least have a less emphasis on the quality of the content. Do you worry about that? And what do you do in your own practices to sort of avoid the pitfalls of that?
Yeah, I worry about that a lot. One thing I do is I've just tried to really slow down and withdraw a little bit. There was a period there a couple of years ago when that essay book came out where I was getting a lot of chances to do bigger media, TV and stuff. And, you know, I just kind of watched myself doing that, and I didn't really enjoy it that much, and I didn't think my best self was being represented. So then you have to do that very, you know, sort of unmodern thing, which is to step back from attention and kind of go back into your quasi-monastic, you know, mode. And, you know, for me, it's kind of like if you take a person, any person, they've got a certain level of intelligence. They've got a certain level of having been informed. They've got a certain natural writing ability. Those things work together. And if you are producing something too quickly, it's going to be worse. And if you're producing something too quickly with an agenda, it's going to be really worse. And as I say in that Braindead Megaphone essay, if you do those two things and then you put it through a big international megaphone where everybody hears it, there's some kind of degradation of the discourse that happens. In other words, if somebody's being kind of superficial and doesn't have much time to prep and has an agenda and then amplifies it 10,000 times, there's kind of a detrimental thing. So I'm trying to not contribute to that, which for me means taking longer on pieces, trying to get my ego under control so I don't feel like I have to be, you know, out there trumpeting my virtues 24/7 and so on.
I mean, I wonder, do you get pushback from either editors or readers? I mean, because, you know, it's always, what have you done for me lately? I mean, do you have faith in, forget about editors, I mean, editors are editors, but do you have faith in the readership, that there is at least a readership out there that still values the actual quality of content rather than the volume of it?
Absolutely. I mean, I hear from them every day, and it's not a big group, you know, so that was the other thing I had to say. You know, I don't know if you're like this, you seem like a pretty grounded person, but, you know, you get a little bit of attention, and the natural human tendency is to want more, you know.
Right, right.
You want more than one birthday a year.
Right,
you
right.
Know? And so, you know, I think there is that tendency to want to keep amping it up, bigger numbers. And if you're a fiction writer like me, your numbers are pretty pathetic in the first place. So part of my maturing process is to go, you know what, it's all right. If you have a small readership that's very intelligent, that actually has more force behind it than, you know, 90 gazillion people watching America's.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a final question along those lines, because this is something that in my mind, because I'm a writer by trade, and that's what I really, I appreciate it, and it's really my passion, is especially when I'm writing a book, I always ask myself the hypothetical, all right, look, would I rather write a book that I was, from topic all the way down to the mechanics of the writing that I was really proud of, like the writing that sold 20,000 or 15,000 copies, or would I rather pick a topic that was less challenging to me, less interesting, you know, but more, you know, that sold, you know, 200,000 books? And I go back and forth with this because it's a mental exercise that you kind of try to figure out where your own priorities are. How do you answer that question? And I mean, you're one of the people who's lucky enough, and by the way, talented enough to have been able to do both. But I mean, do you struggle with those kinds of questions?
Yeah, well, for me, I do. And for me, it manifests in a slightly different way. You know, I write fiction that's relatively, it's always called dark, you know, and kind of satirical. empirical and so on. And when early in my career, I would see my small audience and say, ha-ha, the world's stupid. You know, mm-hmm. no one gets me. You know?
Right.
And then as you get older, and, you know, life has been pretty good to me, and I'm happy and all that, and I start to think, well, I wonder if it isn't something in me. Do I have some kind of tick in my writing that disqualifies people?
Right.
So in other words, you never want to be facile, but you do want to be big-hearted.
Right.
And you don't want to go through life habitually doing a difficult thing just because it's difficult. So for me, that's I think of Dickens, for example, who was both brilliant and popular and so on. So those kind of issues come up. And I also remember this Russian writer, Isaac Babel, who is a great short story writer. And his work is so powerful, and so many people who are writers read it. He's kind of a cult figure. But if you look at his readership, really, it's huge over the years since he died in 1940. But his books are very strange, very difficult, very truthful. But, you know, cumulatively, over the years, he's had a huge effect, exponential effect, on a very intense group of people. So you compare him to the big popular writer.
Yeah, well, Sarah Palin, Going Rogue, right? I mean, it's going to sell a trillion. It's going to sell a trillion copies, but it'll be, you know, you're right. I mean, there's this idea that it'll be there and gone, and who even remembers it? And it's just it's a difficult thing, I think, for people in the media in general, and particularly writers. And I got to tell you something. When I say this, I really mean it. You are one of the big inspirations for me as a writer, and I know for a lot of other writers out there, because you really do mix both. You manage to produce a lot of stuff that's really, really intensely, intensely good. I really appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Pleasure,
and let's stay in touch.
Yours as well. Yeah,
thanks.
Let's stay in touch.
All right. I appreciate it, George. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. That was George Saunders, again, one of my favorite writers. And we have his hilarious, really hilarious piece about Sarah Palin up on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. I tell you something. I got a little bit of a little tingle here, because in the world of writing, George Saunders is like
easy, Dave.
He's like a really big deal.
You said tingle.
You sound like Beavis and Butthead. You're like, you said tingle.
You said tingle. You did.
Yeah, I know I did. I tell you something, you should read The Brain Dead Megaphone Man.
You know how there's
hilarious
jock sniffers and politician sniffers?
You're an
author sniffer.
I'm an author sniffer. You know, authors are,
I'm just kidding.
Authors
I'm
are
just
interesting.
Kidding.
They come from all walks of life, but you're right. Maybe I am an author sniffer. Okay.
Better than being a jock sniffer.
Better than being a politician sniffer as well. All right, after the break.
Sorry.
Speaking of sniffing.
All right, we'll get on track.
There is this controversy in the Denver public schools about Martin Luther King Day and a new menu that was supposed to honor Martin Luther King Day. Is it racist? We'll fill you in on that subject, on that topic, after a traffic update with traffic sniffer John Turk.
I sniff out traffic for y'all. That's my job. I get paid to do it. Well, we do see some heavier jams. Westbound Turnpike, Flatiron Circle to McCaslin Boulevard. That's due to an earlier crash. Three cars were involved. They have moved that from the highway. Still slow going, though, on the Turnpike there. And again, from Federal to Wadsworth. That's a little bit unusual as you travel westbound. Southbound I-25 showing slower speeds up in Thornton still. 104th down to Thornton Parkway. And seeing some more traffic on 225 this morning. Cherry Creek Dam Road still shut down. They will reopen January 18th for some maintenance repair. Also look for more traffic downtown around I-70 east of I-25. Stock show going on. Forecast partly to mostly cloudy. Very small chance of snow or rain in the city. Possible in the foothills, but little accumulation. Looking for a high around 45. Right now, 35 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Now that the holidays are over, it's time to stock up on all the things my family uses most.
Member Yolanda Williams on Sam's Club Savings.
Bounty, Tide, Charmin, you can't beat the prices.
Sam's Club members save up to 37% on laundry and home care.
Those savings could more than pay for my membership.
Become a Sam's Club Plus member January 13th through the 26th and get an extra $100 in e-value savings. Visit your local Sam's Club to learn more. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
You never pay for the product. Call for your free trial now. 1-800-400-8432. That's 1-800-400-8432. 1-800-400-8432.
Instant messages here. I want to read a couple of them before we get to our next topic, because some of them are actually really funny. This is from Kevin in Chicago. Dave, regarding being an author sniffer, as long as it didn't move, you're okay, Dave. If it moves, you've got major problems. That's definitely true. This is from Duckster, one of our haters. Dave, I just checked the photo on your homepage. I would suggest that someone who's going prematurely gray and bald and looks about 10 years older than he purports to be should not be attacking the physicality of other talk show hosts. Okay, a couple things on that. First of all, I am going prematurely gray. Secondly, you're probably right. I probably do look 10 years older than I am, which bums me out. I'm 34. And do you think I look 44, Turk?
No, not. See, I got the same thing going on, man. I'm turning gray.
Yeah, but I'm like really gray.
You're a little more than me, yeah. But see, I wear a hat, so it's hard to tell. But no, I don't think you're going bald.
All right. Well, I'm going to get to the bald part. I would tell you if I was going bald. I mean, I really would. But I decided to. My hair was longer, and I decided I was sick of having. Actually, it was a recession move. I'm not joking. I just bought myself some clippers and just shave it down. So I would tell you if I was going bald, Duckster. But I'm not. But I guess your point is well taken, although... Frankly,
I think he's nailing you for making fun of Scott McMakeover's look.
No, I think he's nailing me for saying that Rush Limbaugh is a greasy, pig-looking person.
Well, that's true.
And I'm going to continue saying that.
Bonafide 100% fact.
I'm going to continue saying that, right, whether Duckster likes it or not. A couple more instant messages here. Having George Bush help out with Haiti is another attempt to rehab his image and help erase any memory of what a total screw-up he was. This listener is referring to the Heritage Foundation saying that President Obama should appoint George W. Bush, right, George W. Bush of Katrina fame, to help Haiti recover. What a joke. I agree with the instant messenger. You can always instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page, send us an instant message. We're going to open up the phones now for a discussion about any of the topics we've covered, but I want to introduce another one as well. This is from Channel 7. School lunch would have included... Oh, sorry, I'll read you I'm reading the subhead first. The headline is Denver Public Schools sorry for insensitive Martin Luther King Jr. lunch. School lunch would have included chicken and collard greens. Denver Public School officials are apologizing after a parent complained that a school lunch meant to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was stereotypical and offensive. The lunch planned for Friday was to include Southern-style chicken, collard greens, and a biscuit in honor of King. DPS spokesman Michael Vaughn released a statement that said, quote, the plan to serve a Southern-style meal in recognition of Martin Luther King Day was well-intentioned but highly insensitive in light of certain hurtful cultural stereotypes still harbored in parts of our society. Organizers of Denver's annual Martin Luther King Jr. Parade, a combination of march and parade, which honors King every January, did not consider the menu appropriate, considering that King came from a Southern background, but said there are other more meaningful ways of honoring him. Quote, when you reduce it to the I Have a Dream speech and a fried chicken and collard green lunch, you've just destroyed everything that Dr. King stood for, said the chairman of the Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Commission. But in barbershops and soul food restaurants in Denver's historic Five Points District, the tone was decidedly more relaxed. Said one barber, to me, I don't see it that much wrong with this. A lot of people are just griping to be griping. What do you think? Do you think this is a racist situation? Do you think inappropriate? My take is this. My take is that I completely agree with the head of the Martin Luther King Jr. Colorado Holiday Commission that it's true. If you reduce Martin Luther King's memory and the day that we celebrate his memory to a couple of clips from the I Have a Dream speech and a fried chicken and collard green lunch, you have, if not destroyed everything Martin Luther King stood for, you have what Cornel West calls Santa Clausified Martin Luther King. And I think there's a problem with that in the sense that Martin Luther King represented a lot of things that we don't and that the establishment doesn't want us to remember him for. Martin Luther King was a person who spoke out about so many issues that we don't talk about and that the power structure in this country doesn't want us to talk about. And that oftentimes on Martin Luther King Day, we do not talk about. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about, you know, Martin Luther King spoke out seriously against war. He spoke out against poverty and inequality and economic inequality in particular. Obviously, he spoke out against racial inequality. And what has happened is that he has been Santa Clausified. That's what Cornel West, the great Harvard and Princeton scholar, says, is that he's been made into a commodity, or at least his memory has, and that's a real tragedy. And that's happened, by the way. Dave Zirin, the sports writer, says that's what's happened to Muhammad Ali. They've been commodified and Santa Clausified. That we look at them as just these sort of politics-free icons, no movement associated with them in the sense of real power-challenging movements. And I think that's a sad fact of American popular culture. And I think that when our education system says the way to honor Martin Luther King is to have a lunch of fried chicken and a biscuit, and that's a serious way to honor Martin Luther King, I think that doesn't do Martin Luther King justice. Now, is it racist because of the choice of the food of collard greens and a biscuit and fried chicken, sort of stereotypical, and it's been used as a car? You know, those are the icons of that racist stereotypers use to describe black people in nasty ways in all sorts of publications and writings and comedy routines. Is it racist to have this menu item or to have this be a special lunch? You know, I don't think that the school district meant it to be racist. Still could be racist, even if they didn't mean it to be racist. I don't think it's racist, right? I don't think it denigrates black people. I mean, it certainly plays on stereotype. I'll go that far and say, sure, it's stereotypical to say that, oh, the way to celebrate this great African-American leader is to have a food that is stereotypically associated with black people. Is it racist? I mean, let me put it in terms that I can speak to personally. If we were going to honor a great leader, a great Jewish leader, and they said they were going to put on the menu bagels, I wouldn't feel like that was anti-Semitic, right? Would I feel like it was ridiculously stereotypical and an empty gesture? Yeah, absolutely. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. Was the Denver Public School District racist for suggesting putting a menu for a special lunch for Martin Luther King's holiday of collard greens and biscuits and fried chicken? Was that racist, or was it not racist? And at the same time, was it simply part of the way of the bigger problem of Santa Clausifying Martin Luther King? Why do we Santa Clausify him? I can answer that myself. I think a lot of people Santa Clausify Martin Luther King because they're afraid of what he was actually saying, and it scared the power structure. I mean, you still have people out there insisting that Martin Luther King, not a lot of people, but Republicans saying, oh, Martin Luther King was a Republican. I mean, what a total joke. So what are your thoughts on this? 303-713-7600. The story is linked on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We'll take your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. A couple spots of heavy traffic westbound Turnpike. First from Federal to Wadsworth. Again, from Flatiron Circle to McCaslin. We had a late crash there that was cleared probably about half hour ago, but still some slow-going stretches. Southbound I-25 still full up in Thornton, 104th to Thornton Parkway. Also seeing some increased traffic on 225 today due to the closure of the Cherry Creek Dam Road. They will reopen on January 18th. Also some heavier traffic around the National Western Complex. They have the National Western Stock Show happening all this week. Your forecast, mostly cloudy, but not enough moisture to create any rain or snow for us. Possible light snow in the foothills. Highs will be in the mid-40s. Right now, 38 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Catch all the action in the first full field event of the PGA Tour season. Tune into Golf Channel as the best in the game compete at the Sony Open in Hawaii. Watch today live at 4:30 and 9:30 p.m. Mountain, only on the Golf Channel.
Imagine what police go through to chase down your car if it's stolen. Speeding down freeways, dodging innocent cars. Now, imagine what it's like when you have the power to tell police that OnStar can reduce the power to your car. Wouldn't you love to see the look on the thief's face when he realizes he's seconds from getting busted? Only OnStar has stolen vehicle slowdown, and it's available on select 09 and newer Chevy vehicles. Success varies with conditions. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
This is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful in all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Ah, the perfect Serta mattress. A little plush, a little firm, plenty of support in all the right places. It just makes you want to... No wonder Serta's called the makers of the world's best mattresses. And you'll always find the best Serta savings at Sam's Club and samsclub.com. With incredible members-only prices, like queens from just $298 and twins from just $99. Get the perfect deal on the perfect Serta mattress today at Sam's Club. Oh, and rest easy. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Your project, you can afford a nicer bathroom then, thanks to instant savings of up to $250. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo of your language software, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943.
My husband's always had dark circles under his eyes. He blames his dad for that.
But then his work stress and schedule made them even more noticeable. To add to the problem, he didn't want to use some fancy eye cream made for women. That's why I got him Hydralyze.
Hydralyze is a scientific breakthrough that isn't fancy, it's effective. Developed by a plastic surgeon, Hydralyze visibly erases dark circles and bags, whether they're due to heredity, aging, or fatigue. If the man in your life has dark under-eye circles or bags, do him a favor and call in the next 10 minutes for a free trial of Hydralyze. The number is 1-800-400-5797.
My husband didn't think he had any options. Now he has the solution.
Men and women who've tried clinically proven Hydralyze are amazed at the dramatic results. If you know someone suffering from dark under-eye circles and bags, call in the next 10 minutes for a risk-free trial of Hydralyze. That's a free trial at 1-800-400-5797. 1-800-400-5797.
I-42 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm just watching the new A-Team movie trailer. I've just finished up a chapter in my book writing a lot about the A-Team, the original A-Team. The original A-Team really said a lot of different and disturbing things. You'll have to wait to read my upcoming book to see what I really think it said, but it was not exactly a show that said a lot of good things about the government. Let's get to our topic. Channel 7 is reporting, Denver Public Schools sorry for insensitive MLK Jr. lunch. School lunch would have included chicken and collard greens. The public school officials are apologizing after a parent complained that a school lunch meant to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was stereotypical and offensive. The lunch was to include Southern-style chicken, collard greens, and a biscuit in honor of Dr. King. The school district has apologized. The chair of the Martin Luther King Holiday Commission says, when you reduce it to I Have a Dream and a fried chicken and collard green lunch, you have just destroyed everything that Dr. King stood for. Do you think this is racist or just merely stereotypical? Maybe you think it's both. And what about the idea that it contributes really to the deeper problem of Santa Clausifying Martin Luther King, that we now have commodified him? Is this what that is talking about when a scholar like Cornel West says we have ignored the real legacy of Dr. King, the part of his legacy that challenges power, and we have Santa Clausified him? Is this part of what Cornel West is talking about? Lavelle in Denver. Lavelle, you're on AM 760.
Hello.
Hello. Hey there.
Hello. Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Well, I'd say that definitely it was culturally insensitive. But it speaks to a larger issue, I think, one that we still in America really don't have a good discussion about race or politics here. I'm only 37 years old, and I am what I would call a first-class reborn citizen of my family. Because after the Civil Rights Act was passed in the 60s, after I was born, pretty much everyone prior to that point was a second-class citizen and didn't have any rights. So only 40 years into the progressive movement for racial equality, you're going to have these lingering effects of institutional racism, or at least thinking, across the board. And just how you can reduce Martin Luther King to chicken and I Have a Dream, you can reduce George Washington to his wooden teeth and a cherry tree, just like you can reduce terrorism to people from Yemen and Nigeria.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, is it a problem of the fact that the school district seems, by virtue of doing this, seems to be reducing Martin Luther King to that memory, just to Santa Clausify him, take away all the really substantive and serious parts of his legacy? Is it, I guess, a crime of reduction, or is it a crime of actually offense, meaning that what they actually did, beyond simply oversimplifying in an offensive way Martin Luther King's legacy, actually what they actually did in oversimplifying it is actually offensive unto itself?
Well, I mean, there is offense to some, but this happens every day on TV and advertising in the media. So you can't just pick one for the other. That's across the board. However, I would definitely think it's an offense to our history. It's an offense to what we as Americans as a whole have fought for in terms of preserving and fighting for the rights of the individual, fighting for the rights of the minority.
Yeah, but I get, but again, I mean, I see some of what you're saying, and I absolutely respect your opinion. But I'm, you know, I'm thinking about it in terms of if there was a let's say there was a famous leader, a famous
like Hugo Chavez.
Okay, right.
Decided to serve Mexican rice and refried beans.
Right, right, exactly.
If, yes, I mean that just speaks to the fact that, you know, pardon my French, that we still live in a society that is ruled by the white male mind.
No, I mean that's that's undeniable. I mean I won't deny that at all. I'm asking is. Is the let's get to the specifics here. Is the fried chicken and collard greens unto itself in it being? I completely agree.
It has no relevance to Martin Luther King. Has no relevance at all.
Yeah, and I can see that, and I totally see that, and it's totally stereotypical, and it's totally out of context, and it's like it's just treading in stereotypes. But the thing is that, you know, if there was a famous Jewish labor leader who was honored for a day and they served bagels, I'd be pissed off. I wouldn't be offended that, oh, you think, you know, being Jewish, that culture, all it is bagels. That's exactly why I would be offended by it, because I would think that you're saying that that's all that person represented, and that all that Jewish culture represented is a bagel, when in fact it represents more. But would the bagel itself, you know, would that offend me? Because some people are saying, look, the choice of collard greens and fried chicken and biscuits, that is unto itself an offensive racial stereotype.
It is offensive. It is a stereotype. It is racially indigenous. Motivated would be a different story.
Right.
At least it comes from a deep-seated place.
Yeah.
You know that Denver and America still has yet to kind of let go of.
Yeah. Lavelle, I absolutely agree. Yeah. And you know, you don't gotta pardon your French on this show when you say that America is dominated by the white male mind. That's absolutely true. I mean, that's undeniable, and I think people who deny that are engaging in a very pernicious form of racial denialism, and you don't have to pardon your French on this show, because I absolutely 100% agree. Hey, thanks for calling, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, take care. Ron in Littleton. Ron, you're on AM760.
Hey, how you doing,
Dave? All right, man.
Yeah, I just got to agree with you. That regardless of the ethnic group or anything, is this country has built itself, especially on Madison Avenue, on stereotyping hell out of anybody.
Anybody. That's 100%
true. I'm Italian-American, and I sort of blow it off anymore. If they're going to honor Christopher Columbus, they serve pizza and spaghetti and meatballs.
That's right. And you know, the thing is, and it's not the only thing to think about, but a lot of times when we talk about latent racism, the people who are doing it, they're not motivated out of racism. It's just the way that they think. And so Madison Avenue is a good example, right? Everything is stereotyped. Right? Italians are portrayed as the Sopranos, right? Like, you know, Jews are portrayed as bagel-eating New Yorkers. And
are they like super thick pastrami sandwiches?
Right, exactly. And so and the motivation of the ad industry is there's obviously racism and all sorts of ethnic prejudice in that, but also part of it is just stereotypes make fast televisual shorthand. I'm not absolving it in any way, but that's how it pervades the cultural society, is that in many ways just speaking through stereotypes has become shorthand in a very noisy and busy world. And when we don't call it out, like I think that the folks of the Martin Luther King Commission here in Colorado rightfully called it out, when we don't call it out, we just let it sort of bleed out into our society without calling into question what it's really about. Hey, Ron, thanks for the call. 950 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. That is the question. Was the Denver Public Schools racist for saying that the way they're going to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday in schools is to simply serve a lunch of fried chicken and collard greens and a biscuit? Is that Santa Clausifying Martin Luther King? Shouldn't we be discussing what Martin Luther King was really all about? And why in this country are we so afraid to actually talk about what Dr. King was all about? Is it because Dr. King was legitimately challenging power and we don't like to talk about folks like that? We'll get to your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, you're going to like this one. No way, David, the Ducks are so wrong. You're hot. Your lovely life. Wife is lucky to have you. And you, her, no doubt. Seriously, your face is handsome, and your voice is soothing and stirring.
Nice.
If you know what I mean, keep up the good work, David.
Well, I thanks
so
to that listener.
One audience member thinks you're hot.
So I got one vote for I'm a graying, old, balding guy, and one vote for I'm not that bad looking.
You look great, dude. You look great. And
thanks,
traffic's
man.
Looking really good for us, too, around the metro, Dave. No problems around Denver. Actually, new crash just popped up. Westbound I-70 near 225. Looking at the cameras, little small delays back around Chambers. Also, some slow-going traffic on westbound Turnpike, Flatiron Circle to McCaslin. That's due to an earlier accident as well. Your forecast today, partly to mostly cloudy with a very small chance of snow or rain in the foothills. Little accumulation, though. Look for a high of 45. Right now, 40 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Today at Safeway, you'll find thousands of new, everyday low prices on the things you use every day. Now get everything on your list, all at the price you need. That's their promise. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
Now that the holidays are over, it's time to stock up on all the things my family uses most.
Member Yolanda Williams on Sam's Club Savings.
Bounty, Tide, Charmin, you can't beat the prices.
Sam's Club members save up to 37% on laundry and home care.
Those savings could more than pay for my membership.
Become a Sam's Club Plus member January 13th through the 26th and get an extra $100 in e-value savings. Visit your local Sam's Club to learn more. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Now at the Home Depot, save an instant $50 to $250 on in-stock bath products to update your bathroom. Brands like American Standard and Delta. Just spend $500 or more. Remodel your thinking, too, because by putting the money you save back into your project, you can afford a nicer bathroom than you thought, thanks to instant savings of up to $250. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
The word is spreading. Ovation Cell Therapy really works. The thousands of letters, referrals, and survey responses about Ovation Cell Therapy tell it best.
I'm using the Ovation products because I've gone through chemotherapy for breast cancer. I started with the Ovation Cell Therapy when I lost the majority of my hair after my first treatment. And in just a month, my hair started growing back faster. That's when I began using the Complete Ovation System. I'm getting compliments on how fast my hair is coming back. I am truly amazed and completely satisfied with your product.
Ovation Cell Therapy is completely safe, non-toxic, with no side effects, and with just a simple cream rinse type application, helps grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster, up to twice as fast. Make your hair healthy again. Log on to ovationhair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory offer. That's ovationhair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. ovationhair.com.
Ovation is so good, it's guaranteed.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Old man.
954 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. We got a packed show for you tomorrow, including Mason Tavert, Colorado Safer in studio. We also got a beer brewer from up in
Oscar Blues
beer brewery from up in Lyons in studio tomorrow. It should be a fun day. Let's go to Mark in Denver. Mark, you're on AM760.
Hey, David, I think you and the critics of this lunch are really missing the point. And that is, understand that this is not just a lunch and the I Have a Dream speech. It's not reduced to that. My daughter's in DPS. She's got books about Martin Luther King. You know, if she's only in the fifth grade. Now, if second, third, and fourth graders get one thing out of the Martin Luther King and Black History Month, by the way, and that's accepting other cultures, you know, bringing them up in a world with less prejudice and understanding cultural differences, that doesn't mean that someone's prejudiced to understand that there are cultural differences. Guess what? Fried chicken and collard greens are a Southern meal. And they're talking about Southern, you know, the Southern culture. Martin Luther King was born, what, in Mississippi? Or, you know, I mean, these kinds of things are teaching children acceptance. And part of it is, guess what? They eat lunch every day.
Mark, so let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah.
You said your daughter is in DPS.
Right.
What is she learning about Martin Luther King? I mean, is she learning about his opposition to the Vietnam War and his people's movement against poverty and against economic inequality?
David, I can't answer that question honestly. Okay, I don't know.
I ask it honestly.
I don't. I can't answer that. I don't know. Maybe I should ask her, and she's. I'm not with her now, and I will ask her that. That's a good question. But look, if she didn't get that out of it, but she got an acceptance of different cultures and understanding how black people have been held back by culture, and I do know she gets that out of it. You know, and we talk a lot about those kinds of things. So if you know that there was a lot of prejudice in the world, there was segregation. If she understands those kinds of issues. And doesn't get anything out of the Vietnam War.
No, that's a fair point. You're making a fair point. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. It's an absolutely fair point. I think one of the arguments about if you just take what Martin Luther King did on racial equality, some people have argued that the way Martin Luther King is presented in our education system is that because of there's two criticisms of the presentation. One is that the civil rights movement was only just Martin Luther King, a cult of personality. I think that's that comes through sometimes, that's how it's presented. Also, there's been criticism that the presentation of Martin Luther King assumes that all racism was eradicated, or at least even most racism was eradicated by Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, when in fact there's a lot of latent racism out there. But you make a very good point.
Let me make one more quick statement. She watched a movie 2 days ago on Ernie Green, first black student. She told me about that. She knows about back of the bus. I can't even remember her name, and I'm sorry. But she knows these issues. So this is what she's learning. No, she's not learning to maybe
well,
about.
Let me just ask you one really quick question, and then I got to get one last caller here. But you know, you say that you know the meal itself isn't offensive. I mean, could you see from if you were are you African American?
No, sir.
Okay.
No,
could
I'm
you
right.
see somebody who's African American saying, you know, that really plays into, that uses cartoonish stereotypes that have been used in a really nasty kind of way in a lot of really ugly media presentations before? Could you see an African American saying, that's why I find this offensive?
Absolutely, but it's taken out of context. You have to look at the whole picture.
All right.
I'm trying to
All right.
Say.
All right. Fair enough. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks.
All right. Tony in Lakewood, you got 30 seconds. Tony, fire away.
Hey, man, you know, the food that they're serving is soul food. I don't know if you've ever been to a soul food restaurant, but that's what's served.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe the only thing they were missing was some chitlins or something, but, I mean, any soul food restaurant I've ever been into has been run by a black family. You don't find white people or Hispanic.
Well, I guess the thing that people are offended by is the assumption that Martin Luther King either liked soul food or soul food represents him. That's the controversy. All right, that's it for the show. We'll see you tomorrow with beer in hand.
Right, let's get down to brass tacks. GEICO is the third largest car insurance company in the nation with a 97% customer satisfaction rating. We insure over 18 million drivers, and we're dedicated to keeping every one of them happy. And geckos are hard workers. Okay, to be honest, I don't know any other geckos in the biz. Well, there's a lizard in accounting, but we just say hello in the hallway. I think his name's Steve.
GEICO. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Okay, that's $11.96. Whoa, what are you doing?
What? I'm giving you cash.
But you're pulling the little guy apart.
Oh, this? No, it's just the money I'm saving with GEICO.
But he's the sack of money with the googly eyes. He has a face.
Yeah, but he's money. And now I'm spending it. Here, take a bill.
Oh, actually, that didn't seem to hurt him at all.
No, we do this all the time.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Need a little help with that New Year's resolution? Click Bargain Watch at am760.net and buy a $155 Diet Center gift certificate for only $50. Save the cash, lose the weight with Bargain Watch, courtesy of Comcast.
Turn to the left.